Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 43 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by James Hardy Building. A ruptured steam line at the Coors Brewery sent three workers to the hospital with burns early this morning. The steam line ruptured about midnight, sending steam into a nearby tunnel. Some areas of the plant were shut down, but the brewery is operating at full production. That same steam line is used to heat parts of the Colorado School of Mines in Golden. Jury selection begins in the murder trial of Michael Blagg on March 1st in Mesa County. Preliminary jury questioning begins today as a pool of 500 possible jurors will be pared down over the next week. Blagg stands accused of killing his wife and dumping her body in a landfill near Grand Junction. Several groups are joining for a noon rally on the CU campus to protest the selections of the investigative panel that will be looking into the sexual assault scandal at the school. Yesterday, a group of parents of University of Colorado football players gathered to defend their sons and say the scandal has made all football players at CU into the bad guys. Ronnie Gordon, a CU football parent, had strong words for the press.
No assault anywhere in the CU community or on any campus is acceptable.
Gary Clatt, a CU football parent, defended the character of Gary Barnett.
No program shows the integrity and the accountability and the honesty of the University of Colorado. And I think that's a reflection on Coach Barnett directly.
We'll have more details on today's rally later this afternoon. All of the evidence collected by the Jefferson County Sheriff's Office from the Columbine shootings investigation is going to be on display this week. The display will be at the Jefferson County Fairgrounds Auditorium. On Wednesday, the families of the victims will be able to view the display. On Thursday, it will be open to the public. Parents of the victims are looking for specific things such as ballistics reports, and they want to discover just what they haven't been told in the case. Easter Sunday is a way off, but when it arrives, the Denver Rescue Mission wants to do something special for local homeless people. Spokeswoman Greta Ritchie says Project Hope Tote calls for people to fill tote bags with basic toiletries, things that most of us take for granted, but it's stuff to which the homeless don't always have access.
Our goal is to have about 5,000 of the Hope Totes filled by March 28th for us to start handing them out. And, you know, it's a really easy campaign to get involved. It's a great school project, neighborhood project, or just something to do with your family.
Ritchie says the tote bags will be handed to the homeless who stop by the mission on Easter Sunday. She says giving a homeless person items like toothpaste, a toothbrush, shampoo, and a razor and shaving cream can give that person the confidence they need to go to a job interview. A team of about 50 Marines will be going to Haiti to protect the U.S. Embassy there. The decision came after rebels captured the Caribbean country's second largest city. A State Department official says the move is prudent planning. The first case of highly infectious strain of bird flu in the U.S. in more than 20 years has been identified in Texas. The Centers for Disease Control says there is a low threat to human health, but they will be monitoring the threat. The USDA destroyed more than 6,600 chickens from the farm where the virus was found today. A federal judge presiding over the Martha Stewart trial has postponed her decision whether to dismiss the top count against the homemaking guru. Scott Salato has the details from federal court in Manhattan.
The judge heard arguments from defense lawyers hoping to dismiss the securities fraud charges against Stewart and her broker, but the judge reserved decision on the charges, which carried jail terms of up to 30 years. Then the defense called to the stand an ink expert to explain to the jury how he took samples from a disputed piece of evidence. The government claims the broker doctored a document to cover up the sale of Martha's M. Clone shares. Scott Salato, New York.
President Bush wants his Patriot Act renewed by Congress. Speaking to a group of governors today, Bush said the U.S. will continue hunting terrorists and pointed out the success of the U.S. that the U.S. has had against al-Qaeda. The controversial Patriot Act increased police powers, but has been criticized because of civil liberties concerns. Heading into the last 2 hours of today's trading session, stocks were lower across the board. The Dow is down 31 points, the Nasdaq down 27, the S&P 500 down just about 4 points. In sports, the Denver Nuggets are in Memphis to play the Grizzlies tonight. When the Nuggets and Grizzlies played in Denver earlier this month, the Nuggets won by 3 points. Nuggets are coming off their loss to Miami on Saturday. In college basketball tonight, the Colorado State Rams are in California to play the San Diego State Aztecs, while the Air Force Falcons travel to Utah to play the BYU Cougars. James Hardy Siding provides homeowners the beauty of wood without the usual maintenance. Visit them on the web at jameshardy.com to learn more. That's JAMESHARDIE.com. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 12:05.
No extra charges for roaming.
Press star, press the pound key.
When you listen to us online. Wherever you are, so are we. Hear both sides talk at knrcradio.com. knrcradio.com.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Evelinda Irvin.
And I'm Judy Schwartz. We co-host Style Matters Live.
Even if you're not born with great style, you can buy it.
Just like we do. And this extends to our homes. Element, Denver's newest furniture store for urban home furnishings, accessories, and artwork, meets all our style needs and will meet yours, too.
Element has multifunctional furniture to maximize your space in a condo, apartment, loft, or smaller home. The clean lines of Element's furniture for today's urban lifestyle will work with what you already own.
You'll love their eclectic mix of styles, all presented in a way you can envision in your own home.
Prices are affordable, with lamps as low as $100 and sofas starting at about $1,000. Interior design services are available.
Element is open Monday through Friday, 11 to 6, Saturday, 10 to 7, and Sunday, 1 to 5. Element is located at 77 West 9th Avenue, a half a block west of Broadway in the Golden Triangle. 303-825-3770.
Element. Your lifestyle, your home, your element.
KNRC News Time is 12:06. Time to go to Darren Copeland now in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report brought to you by the Air National Guard, and we got that accident cleared up in the high country, eastbound I-70 at Idaho Springs. Watch for some delays up there. And we had a bit of an accident, southbound I-25 right at the stadium curve. Two semis, but they're over on the side of the road, so that should be getting back to normal, but there was a delay, so watch for just a little glitch there. Money for college plus job skills from a part-time job. You bet. Fuel your future in the Air National Guard. Call 1-800-TO-GO-ANG. That's 1-800-TO-GO-ANG. I'm Darren Copeland with your traffic. You can hear Jimmy Lakey in the mornings at 6 on AM 1150 KNRC.
I'm Stephanie DeLuca with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Mostly cloudy skies out there today. Isolated rain, showers, maybe a few flakes of snow mixed in, topping out at 44. Tonight, cloudy with scattered rain showers again, may mix with snow late, down to 24. Keeping the clouds around for tomorrow as well, 41. Then they thin out for Wednesday, though, a high of 50. For the Weather Channel, I'm Stephanie DeLuca on AM 1150 KNRC.
Under partly cloudy skies, it's 45 degrees. KNRC News Time is 12:07. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 12:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
From AM 1150 KNRC, we think Denver's choice for talk. Now one of the Mile High City's most entertaining talk personalities, the Enid Goldstein Show. Here's Enid.
12:07, 7 minutes after 12 o'clock. Welcome to the Monday Heartbreak Hotel edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. Later in the broadcast, we're going to be joined by Dr. Gene Bowles. He's a neurosurgeon from Boulder. He, for a long time, I think, was the only neurosurgeon at Lonsdale Regional Medical Center watching all those casualties come in from Iraq. He has just bought, oddly enough, the Boulder Dinner Theater. He'll be live with us in studio later in the broadcast. Joining us right now, Channel 4's Molly Hughes, on a breaking story that Channel 4 is investigating. Molly, thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Thanks for having me, Enid. How are you doing?
Doing well. Tell me what's going on. Tell me what the story is.
Well, we, for 10 months, investigated a residential treatment center, which is a mental health treatment facility for children. They go there and they live. And we found several licensing violations and other violations that bring into question the type of treatment they're getting there.
What have you found specifically that is troubling?
One of the things that we pointed out in our story last night was these agencies are required by law to report what are called critical incidents to the state of Colorado.
Uh-huh.
And then the state will send out, agents to investigate what happened to the child or what may have happened to the worker on the particular incident. And what we found is that there were several cases of sexual assaults and assaults that were not reported to the state.
And they are supposed to be reported to the state.
They are absolutely.
The state. Name of this treatment center is?
It's called Devereaux Cleo Wallace.
And where is it located?
The one that we profiled last night is in Westminster. They have more than 100 children there between, on average, the ages of 5 and 18.
Mm.
They come from all over the country. Your tax dollars are paying for these kids to get this treatment. And so the question is, are they getting the treatment? These are kids who are in the child welfare system. They've been taken away from their families because of serious neglect and or abuse.
So they're not being incarcerated. They're not in there for violations that they've committed. Essentially, they're there because their families have committed some sort of infractions.
That's correct. There are some kids who have been adjudicated, but they are a minority. The majority of them are kids in the child welfare system, who either they were taken away from their family or they have no family left. These are kids who were basically born into a situation where they had no chance.
So then here's a facility that's supposed to be helping them out, and in some cases it sounds like the kids have not only gotten a double whammy from their parents, but from the institutions charged with protecting them.
That's what the allegations are, and we found incidents that raise questions and certainly make one wonder what's going on inside of there. You know, what we reported last night in the result of a 10-month investigation, we believe is only the tip of the iceberg. We found a lot of other allegations. We have a lot of sources on the inside and former employees who are telling us stories that would really break your heart. But what we were able to prove through a paper trail last night was the lack of reporting, and that is a clear licensing violation. They have been cited for this several times in the past, and it appears they have not cleaned up their act.
Okay, so they have to report some of these things, and the kinds of things they are not reporting include?
The things that we pointed out last night were the sexual assaults and assaults. Those can be assaults from child on child or sexual assaults from a child on a child, and sometimes even the therapists there are assaulted. These are children who have serious disorders. You know, some of them have a serious detachment disorder. They have outbursts of violence. They have been deemed rehabilitatable and therefore put in this facility because somebody has decided that they are treatable.
Now, you're saying these are kids from all over the country, but this is a state facility?
No, this is actually a nationwide provider. It is the nation's largest residential mental health care facility for children, and they have two campuses in Colorado. They are not only the largest in the nation, they are the largest nonprofit of its kind in Colorado. So it's a twofold. They're the largest in the country, the largest of its kind in Colorado as well.
Okay. So you have, this is not a private facility. This is tax dollars at work.
It is a private facility. It is subcontracted by the state and other states. So it's a private facility, but the states need places to put these children because these are children, these are Medicaid dollars. These are children being treated with your tax dollars.
Okay, so then this is, forgive me because these are kind of interesting details here.
Okay.
So this is you said these were tax dollars because the state subcontracts from really a private, this is a private group, but you're saying they're nonprofit?
That's correct.
They're a nonprofit private group. But your tax dollars are at work here because the state is subcontracting.
Because these are because they're children who are being paid for under the Medicaid system.
Oh, this is such a can of bag of snakes, and I think this has been going on for really a long time because you always these are stories that continue to surface all over the place. I'm glad you're on it. When are we going to see a report again?
Well,
tonight at what time?
Actually, we aired a 4-minute story last night, which, as you know, is a long time for for local news. So I was happy to have the support from management at my station. What we ended that story on last night was the fact that when we brought these violations that we uncovered to the Department of Human Services here in Colorado, they were shocked and stunned. And
shocked.
And immediately launched an investigation against Devereaux Cleo Wallace.
Good.
So what they did was the Department of Human Services sent or made phone calls and contacted the appropriate people at the state legislature saying, hey, you're going to see this report on TV. We just want you to know we're already looking into these allegations, and we are very concerned about what was brought to our attention. So what we suspect to be the next follow-up, and we're hoping to have this on tonight, will be the state legislature's response to our report last night.
For those of you just tuning in, my guest, Molly Hughes, for News 4 anchor. So a report tonight, you're going to pick up and continue on with it tonight at what time, 10 o'clock?
Yeah, we're hoping. I mean, it really depends, and I'm not in the office yet, so I'll wait and see what we were able to get at the legislature today. I talked to my boss this morning. We were sending somebody over there, so it just depends on what they were willing to say, and then once we find out what that is, then I'll decide what we're able to do tonight.
Well, keep us apprised, and let us know how the story goes and what more you uncover.
Thank you.
This is a good one. It's very juicy and rather sad, very sad.
It really is. You know, it's I got into this because of what I learned was happening to the children, and so that's what's keeping me motivated. It's been a long haul.
Yeah, Molly Hughes, thank you so much. We love your work. News 4 anchor. This is an ongoing investigation of Devereaux.
Cleo Wallace,
and these kids who have gotten a very short shrift to begin with, to have the misfortune to be born into the families they're born into, now are under the care of the kind of state, a public-private kind of partnership, and in some cases being a lot of allegations of mistreatment here and assaults and so on. So, Molly, keep on top of it and let us know what more transpires.
Thanks, Ian, and I appreciate your time.
Thank you so much for joining us today. 303-382-1150, 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. Oh, we're having some problems with the phones here, aren't we? There we go. Okay. Oh, but you know, these child facilities are there. Let me be not too puckish here, but where have we heard about these facilities where they're operating the way they're supposed to be operating, where there aren't assaults and where there aren't allegations of inappropriate this and misdone that? I mean, it's almost become the norm. 303-382-1150. So if you have any information about facilities like this, I'm kind of curious to hear from you. Lots of news over the weekend, lots and lots going on. First of all, Ralph Nader jumps into the race for the presidency. What do you think about that? Is he being as vain, or if he may not get on the ballot of a lot of states, but here's Ralph Nader jumping around, trying to siphon off votes. A lot of people have voted for, I have voted for Ralph Nader, not in the 2000 election, but for Clinton's second term, when I was really sure that my vote for Nader wasn't going to derail Clinton. I voted for Nader sort of as a protest. I don't know why. I got, you know, pissed off at Clinton, to be perfectly blunt about it. So for the first time, I voted for the first term and the second term. So when it was safe, I voted for Nader, but not in 2000. Absolutely not. And I'm like a lot of other people, miffed that he's jumped into this race in order to, I don't know, make the world safer for Bush. I bet the Republicans are going to contribute big time to Nader's campaign, because the allegations are that a conservative Republican operative is running Al Sharpton's campaign and contributing heavily to it. That was revealed in the Village Voice. So here is Ralph Nader. What do you think about that? He blasts unpatriotic corporations. Government interests have become indentured servants for unpatriotic corporations. Consumer advocate Ralph Nader charged. You know what? Since he ran for president in 2000, a lot of people have not the contributions to his many causes, many fine causes, have gone down substantially, because people are really mad at Ralph Nader because we got stuck with George W. Dickey Bush. Unpatriotic corporations, he says, abandon our country and shift industries abroad, along what is left of their allegiance to our country and our community. He's going to be 70. He ran as a Green Party candidate in both 1996 and 2000. He announced his candidacy for the 2004 race during an interview on Sunday, NBC's Meet the Press. Nader's announcement that he will run for president as an independent was described by Republicans as unimportant and by Democrats as unfortunate. Democratic National Committee Chairman Terry McAuliffe called Nader's decision very unfortunate. But he said he believes a candidacy by the consumer advocate and former Green Party presidential candidate will be different from 2000. I think so, too. I think people who would be inclined to, you know, do a throwaway vote or to be furious with anybody just to be independent might have voted for Nader. It may not be possible. You know, he's got to get on the ballot, so I don't know how successful he's going to be doing that. Maybe he will be successful, maybe he won't. But let me just say this. your vote is so much more valuable in this election than it was in 2000, I think. I think a lot of people realize that this isn't a vote to be taken lightly. What do you think? Do you think that if Nader shows up on the ballot in Colorado, that people who would be inclined to, you know, flip off the power structure would, you know, toss away their vote to Nader? You vote for Nader, you're effectively voting for George W. Dickey Bush. That's all I can tell you. Ralph Nader did acknowledge today that it will be difficult to get his name on the ballots in the 50 states in his independent bid for the presidency. So he may really wind up not being a factor, unless, of course, the Republicans in their dirty tricks decide to throw a lot of cash his way. Don, in Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Don.
Hey, how you doing, Enid?
Doing well.
Hey, you know, I voted for Ralph Nader in the last election, and if he gets on the ballot in Colorado, I'll vote for him again. And I don't consider it a vote for George Bush at all. I feel like people should vote for the candidate that...
Don, I got a bridge that I want to sell you. You can consider that the earth is flat, too, and that's your opinion. And it's your opinion that voting for Nader isn't effectively a vote for Bush, but it's effectively a vote for Bush.
Okay, but see, that's what's wrong with America, because of foolish statements like that.
No, it's not what's wrong with America. It's just reality.
Listen, I don't give a damn about George Bush, nor do I give a damn about John Kerry. I told you a week ago, both of them belong to the Skull and Crossbones. Both of them...
You don't think there's any difference between a presidency under George W. Dickey Bush and John Kerry? You don't see any... It's Tweedledee and Tweedledum as far as you're concerned?
Of course, because, I mean, isn't it obvious both of them is from the Skull and Bones?
So wrong about that, Don.
Both of them lay butt naked in a casket and was born again into a satanic cult. The same people that's funding Bush is the same...
How do you know it's a secret society? How do you know it's a satanic cult? You were there. You went to Yale. You went into the Skull and Crossbones building and rattled your Skull and Crossbones.
Enid, remember the guy that you had on about a year ago that was talking about George Bush's unofficial biography? Remember I called up and asked the guy point blank? I said, does George Bush belong to the Skull and Bones? He said yes. I said, isn't one of the rituals that they lay nude in the casket and are born again into a satanic cult? He said yes.
Oh, I never heard the born again into a satanic cult. I don't know who said that.
You had the guy on your show.
I don't remember born again into a satanic cult, and he can say anything. Just because I had him on, I'm not vouching for everything he says.
Ask anybody, man. They wear a costume that, and they call it Little Devil. They dress up like
nobody knows what they're doing. They're a secret society. Nobody knows what the drill is there. So because you don't know, and because it's got a name like Skull and Bones, it's easy to concoct all kinds of rituals and call them a satanic cult.
Okay,
I mean, maybe the Republican, by that definition, it's very possible that the whole Republican Party is a satanic cult.
Enid, would you agree with this? The same special interest people that fund George Bush are also the people that's backing John. Is it true?
That may very well be true, but I still think you're going to get a difference in presidencies between John Kerry and George W. Dickey Bush. Is John Kerry my first choice? He's not my first choice. I really would have liked to have seen somebody else, but I think he'll do fine.
Do you think a year from now that the United States, under the leadership of John Kerry, will be talking about pulling out of Iraq?
I don't know what's going to be happening. I can just tell you that when Ralph Nader said there's no difference between the Republicans and the Democrats, he was completely lying and he was completely wrong. 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150. So let me pose that question. Is there any difference between a John Kerry presidency and a George W. Dickey Bush presidency? Maybe one. Was there a difference between a Bill Clinton presidency? Let me put it to you this way. Was there any difference between a Bill Clinton presidency that we have already experienced and a George W. Bush presidency? Can you spell surplus? Can you spell peace and prosperity? Which part of peace and prosperity did you not like? Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the ships at sea. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Monday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC.
Why listen to Rush when you've got Enid?
Love her as I love her, and there will be joy.
AM 1150 KNRC.
Hey, it's time to celebrate a tradition brought to the banks of the Mississippi in 1699. It's Fat Tuesday, also known as Mardi Gras. You don't have to travel far to have a jubilant time. Broussard's Creole Cafe kicks off Fat Tuesday at lunchtime with free red beans and rice for the first 50 people. Drape yourself with free Mardi Gras beads. Join the hoopla at Broussard's Creole Cafe on the 24th, where Gumbo the Gator will be there to entertain the kids and let loose with the rhythm and blues of Bo and Sam with Wild and Peaceful. Also featuring special guests, the famous Otis Tinsley, a New Orleans-style piano player. Mardi Gras wouldn't be complete without the $3 hurricane served all day. The tradition of King Cakes lives with drawings for King Cakes and restaurant certificates. Frolic among the traditions of Mardi Gras, going on all day at Broussard's Creole Cafe, just across from the Capitol on Colfax. Broussard's is owned by a family from Louisiana that knows how to provide authentic Creole food and jovial jazz. And don't forget to inquire about their banquet facility. Call 303-861-0931.
Velcaro Paint and Decorating hopes you'll forgive us for bragging a little. We've won an award. And because the environment is really important to us, we're pretty proud of it. Velcaro, a Benjamin Moore dealer, was recently named a recipient of the Environmental Achievement Award by the state of Colorado. What's our achievement? It's the Wet Paint Color Swatch program, which Velcaro pioneered nationally. As you know, choosing the right paint color is usually by trial and error. In the past, consumers had to buy an entire quart to get a sample. Wrong colors often get tossed out and eventually make their way into the environment. But Velcaro offers 1.5-ounce paint swatches, enough to cover 4 square feet, and more than enough to make the right decision. They're inexpensive and come in more than 6,000 colors, including our entire Benjamin Moore line. Wet paint color swatches. Good for you, good for the environment. From Velcaro Paint and Decorating, a Benjamin Moore quality paint dealer. 5475 Leedsdale Drive, just one block west of Holly. Online at Velcaro.com.
Tickets are on sale now for the 2004 KeyBank Denver Distinguished Lecture Series, featuring the dynamic lineup of retired General Tommy Franks on Tuesday, March 30th, and Steve Forbes on Monday, May 17th. Tickets are still available for these compelling speakers. For information on the remaining ticket packages, go to www.denverlectureseries.com and expand your world by attending the 2004 KeyBank Distinguished Lecture Series, a program of junior achievement and sponsored in part by AM 1150 KNRC. AM 1150 KNRC continues expanding our local programming. Now live and local on weekends.
You never hear that kind of talk. At least I haven't.
Listen to Darren Copeland live Saturday and Sunday afternoons exclusively on AM 1150 KNRC, where you can hear both sides talk.
Hi, this is Bill O'Reilly. Join me live every weekday morning from 10 till noon here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
12:27 on the Monday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 3 o'clock. Dr. Gene Bowles will be joining us later in the broadcast. He just bought the Boulder Dinner Theater, but he's a neurosurgeon, Boulder neurosurgeon, so he is local, and he has tales to tell about treating a lot of the casualties that came into Landstuhl Regional Medical Center in Germany. And I'm very interested to talk to him about that. I've seen him quoted widely, and I saw him quoted widely right after the war got underway, when he was seeing injury after injury after injury and seeing how these injuries would affect people for the rest of their lives. And there has not, even to this day, been very much reporting about it. I also want to talk about CU, but I want to ask the question because Don brings it up. Is there going to be a difference between a Kerry presidency and a Bush presidency, given that everybody appears to be servants of special interests, that we have become a government of, by, and for special interests? But look at the Clinton presidency vis-a-vis the Bush presidency and tell me what you see that is different. How do you see these two presidencies? Very different. At least look at the economics of it. Were we at war with Iraq and under Clinton? I don't recall that. You know, he was too busy doing wiggle wiggle. 303-382-1150. Ben calling from Elgin, Illinois. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hey there, Enid. I think that any Green who thinks that voting for Ralph Nader is going to do anything other than destroy the rest of the planet, it isn't thinking clearly.
What do you mean destroy the rest of the planet?
Bush has done everything he could do in the last few years to basically, through regulatory changes, to blunt the effect of every environmental protection law you can think of. Now they can tear the whole tops off mountains and dump the remainder into the the valleys in between and turn all of the remainder of West Virginia into a large flat place.
Well, when they're not busy taking science research and distorting it for their own purposes, a bunch of Nobel Prize-winning scientists got together last week to excoriate the Bush administration for this very thing, and over the weekend they were spinning medical data that wasn't even true.
Exactly. And they're permitting people to mine for minerals by pumping cyanide into the aquifers. You know, and pump it out and trying to get the minerals out that way. You know, they're doing all kinds of really just awful things that, under Clinton, the lid had been kept on those things. And I'm absolutely certain, because I have seen Kerry's environmental voting record, that he wouldn't support any of these things.
All right, so you're saying there is definitely going to be a difference between a Kerry and a Bush presidency, even though special interests are part of the equation.
I think that whenever you run a government, no matter what government it is, there are always going to be special interests. I'm a member of several special interests. I'm a member of NARAL, and that's a special interest. I'm a member of People for the American Way, and that's a special interest.
Well, the special interest for People of the American Way is taking back the government, making it up by and for the people.
Correct.
So you almost need a special interest to make it up by and for the people.
You absolutely do. I think that special interests are, in fact, the most effective way for an individual citizen to lobby the government for redress of grievances. You can't, as an individual, make any impact on a body the size of the U.S. government. You have got to band together in groups. You have got to form political action committees. And if you don't do those things, no one hears you.
Ben, I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150, 303-382-1150. George, on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid.
Hi, George.
I think the major problem that I have with Nader is, and this may be a kind of a strange viewpoint on it, is that, in a sense, I think he's become like a caricature of himself, but also he's become a pawn of the Republicans, excuse me. Because if we go back and look at the last election, really the true fact is that Nader lost the election for the Democrats, not the Republicans actually winning the election. And Nader siphoned off enough votes to where the Democrats were unable to win some key states. And I think we can call him as what he is, you know, what he used to be is something totally different. Maybe he was for the people and for things that actually mattered. Now, especially it's this late into the program, he jumps in, I'm running for president. What a joke. All he's doing is just...
Well, first of all, he hasn't got a chance in the world to win. I understand the statement that he's making. It may be that this year, I think your statement was really right. It wasn't that the Republicans won. It was how did you put it? Was it the Democrats lost?
The Republicans actually won. The Democrats actually lost because of Nader's siphoning off.
All right. Well, the analogy I want to make here is, in voting for a presidential candidate this time, what the polls are showing and what the research is showing is that people aren't voting for a candidate; they're voting against Bush.
Right.
That's what they're doing. And if you vote for Ralph Nader, you're effectively voting for George W. Bush. There's no other way around it. Nader has done wonderful work. I love the public service work he's done. I can understand why, in his Don Quixote kind of way, he's on his horse and he is campaigning for the right way and for a cleaner kind of a situation for the presidency and so on, and God bless him. But voting for him is effectively voting for the Republicans. No way around that. And I thank you, George, for the call. 303-382-1150. Kelly, calling from Omaha. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, I'd like to address that guy's comment saying that the Democrats and the Republicans are exactly the same. I was listening to a show this morning, and it had Michael Parente on, who's extremely left-wing. And he said that he voted for Ralph Nader last time, and this time he wouldn't, because there is definitely a difference between the Republican Party and the Democrats.
Well, it took almost the 4 years of the Bush administration to make that clear. Thank you, Kelly. 303-382-1150. And Steve from Louisville. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. As a Republican, I really applaud Nader getting into the picture for president, because he'll draw some votes from Democrats. And the last election, he obviously drew enough in swing states to make a difference.
Well, that's assuming he can now get on the ballot. He was on the ballot of these various states last year as a Green Party candidate. This year, he's running as an independent.
Yeah, well,
and he acknowledges that there's going to be difficulty. You as a Republican, you going to contribute to his campaign so that he can.
I did last time, and I will this time.
Yeah, you want to siphon votes off from the Democrats, right, Steve?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Well, I hope and pray you are unsuccessful on this.
Okay. Another thing, the difference between George Bush and Bill Clinton. There's not really a lot of difference between them. Bill Clinton was a very conservative Democrat. George Bush is a very liberal Republican.
Liberal? In what way? Faith in the faith-based school, faith-based intelligence, anti-abortion, anti-gay marriage?
No, there's a difference between
you wouldn't have don't ask, don't
conservative and fiscal conservative.
Yeah, but you wouldn't have don't ask, don't tell coming out of George W. Bush's administration, and you don't have fiscal probity coming out of his administration either. So fiscally, he is not conservative.
That's what I would say. I would say that George Bush is very liberal fiscally, and socially he's very conservative. On the other hand, Clinton was kind of mediocre on socialism.
Did you not like that nice huge surplus he left you with?
Well, the economy is starting to fall apart. Before he ever
not nearly getting the suicidal shove that George W. Bush has given it. I think you and I are going to disagree on this one, Steve. I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Monday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC. 12:36, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Enid. Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 47 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by Sky Ridge Medical Center. Students, professors, and activists are rallying in Boulder to protest an investigation into sexual assaults by football players. Many in attendance are protesting the makeup of the investigative panel and believe they aren't being given enough time to do their job effectively. Others argue that connections some panelists have to CU may taint that investigation. Charges have now been filed against the two owners of three pit bull dogs that allegedly mauled 41-year-old Jennifer Brooke to death last November. Jacqueline McEwen and her husband William Gladney face 10 charges, from having pit bulls running loose to criminally negligent homicide. Democrats in Arapahoe County trying to delay tomorrow's scheduled recall election for County Clerk Tracy Baker. They say the absentee ballot isn't the same as the polling place ballot and doesn't have the words write-in on them for a candidate. Officials say a delay could cost Arapahoe County taxpayers more than $1 million. Sky Ridge Medical Center's free family festival is February 28th from 10 to 3. Food, fun, health info, maternity and kids fashion show, and miles from the Broncos. I-25 in Lincoln, south of Park Meadows. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast up next. KNRC News Time is 12:37.
Libs lover.
True love is the greatest thing in the world.
Conservatives hater.
Ignoramus.
We have absolutely nothing in common.
And we all know her. Enid Goldstein on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's the biggest breakthrough in getting a good night's sleep. So effective, over 25,000 medical professionals worldwide recommend it to their patients. What is it? It's the Tempur-Pedic Swedish mattress, an innovation so advanced, it's guaranteed to provide a better night's sleep. Now, you can get a free sample of the incredible material behind this mattress and a free Better Sleep video. Call 1-800-525-8668. The Tempur-Pedic Swedish mattress contours to every curve of your body. It relieves the pressure points that make you toss and turn. You'll sleep more soundly, wake up more energized. For people with back or neck problems, Tempur-Pedic offers extraordinary relief. For a free sample of the Tempur-Pedic sleep material, call 1-800-525-8668. Call now, and you'll also get Tempur-Pedic's Better Sleep video, absolutely free. So feel for yourself what all the excitement is about. Call Tempur-Pedic now, 1-800-525-8668. That's 1-800-525-8668.
KNRC News Time is 12:38. Time to check with Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report brought to you by D.R. Horton Melody Series, and really looking pretty good around the metro area. Accident-free right now. Seeing a little bit of slowing on northbound 225 approaching I-70, so just be aware of that. It's just a little glitch in the system. Doesn't seem like it's too much of a factor for you. D.R. Horton, America's Builder Melody Series. Own for under $1,000 a month. No down, no closing cost programs available. Visit MelodyLiving.com or call us at 1-866-MELODY-H. I'm Darren Copeland with your traffic. You're listening to Enid Goldstein on AM 1150 KNRC.
I'm Stephanie DeLuca with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Isolated rain showers may be mixed with snow for today under mostly cloudy skies, high of 44. Later on tonight, scattered rain. Again, a few flakes of snow may be mixed in late, down to 24. Tomorrow, keeping the clouds with a high of 41. And Wednesday, just partly cloudy, high of 50. For the Weather Channel, I'm Stephanie DeLuca on AM 1150 KNRC.
Partly cloudy now, 47 degrees. KNRC news time is 1240. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 1 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
WB2. Tonight on WB2 News at 9.
The number of women in prison is growing at an alarming rate.
A time bomb waiting to explode.
I'm Tamara Banks. I'll spend a night behind bars at a Colorado prison to find out why.
I didn't like nobody telling me what to do.
Plus, I'll show you what's being done to keep these women from coming back.
It's like a revolving door to me.
WB2 News investigates women behind bars.
I don't want to die no more.
Tonight on WB2 News at 9.
This is
WB2 Morning News.
Fresh local news whenever you wake up.
Just choose the time that works for you.
The most local news in the morning and weather and traffic on the twos.
It's a great way to start your day.
You should join us.
Make the most of your time in the morning. WB2 Morning News with Tom Green and Natalie Tisdall.
This is one show you don't want to miss.
Weekday mornings from 5:30 to 9. Because your time counts. KNRC Market Watch.
Stocks continue to slump at this hour. The Dow is dipping 36, the NASDAQ falling 33, and the S&P 500 is losing 6. Losing stocks hold a 2-to-1 edge over winners at both the New York Stock Exchange and the NASDAQ. There's word the Pentagon is going to cancel the Comanche helicopter program, and that's hitting the two main manufacturers of that attack helicopter pretty hard. Boeing down $1, United Technologies falling almost $3.50. Reuters says the Pentagon plans to make an official announcement after the closing bell today. Shareholders at FTD have agreed to merge with Nectar, and FTD will cease being a publicly traded company. Once all the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed, FTD is losing a penny. And Lowe's is dropping $1.50 despite reporting a 28% jump in earnings thanks to success moving into markets like Chicago and New York. I'm John Wardock from the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
How did the Avalanche or the Nuggets do last night? Find out with Tony DeSiri.
Tony DeSiri.
Morning Sports Reports exclusively on AM 1150 KNRC. Continues on AM 1150 KNRC.
1242 on the Monday edition of Enid Live. The question that we're asking is, in the wake of Ralph Nader jumping in or trying to jump into the presidential election of 2004, depending on whether he can get on the ballot in enough states, will it make a difference whether you have a Republican or a Democratic president? Voting for Ralph Nader is effectively a vote for George W. Bush. Compare the Clinton presidency with the Bush presidency, and what do you see when you look at those two presidencies? 303-382-1150. Look at them economically. Look at them in terms of peace and prosperity or war and deficits. Look at those. Look at the spinning of science stories. Look at the lies emerging from this administration. You have all these Nobel scientists who got together last week and issued a report because science, the research is being spun by this administration. They don't even want to tell you the truth about science. 303-382-1150. So if there's a little sex scandal in the Oval Office, I care less about that than I care about people coming home in body bags. Well, no, not anymore. Transfer tubes is what they're calling it. That's how they got rid of body bags in one single gesture. Rex calling from Longmont. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid.
Hi, Rex.
Out here in Colorado, see, when you made that statement about a vote for Nader is a waste, I agree with you in some states, but not all states. I mean, because I've been a Nader supporter, pretty hardcore. except for this, you know, this year.
All right, let me ask you a question. Does Nader have a chance to be elected president in this country?
Well, it's assuming
he can even get on the ballot, which is going to be a tough...
It's just I liked his message, you know?
Yeah, okay, so you liked his message, so good.
He can be. I vote for him was a vote for his message.
He can be a secretary of messages. You can like his message, and then you vote for him, and you got George W. Bush again for four more years. So how smart is that, Rex?
But how is it...
Give to Nader's organizations if you like his message.
Well, see, the Democrats have been adopting his message slowly through the years. A lot of the rhetoric from the Democrats is Nader's rhetoric years ago. But my point is about the Electoral College, and here in Colorado and in California, here in Colorado, it traditionally goes to the red, doesn't it?
I don't know. I'm new to Colorado, so somebody who's more conversant with Colorado can tell me. But if you're going to vote for Ralph Nader Rex, red, blue, green, yellow, purple,
no.
you're voting for George W. Bush, and there's no way around
point
that.
Is it's the Electoral College. I mean,
I'm going to tell. It's not the Electoral College. It's the Electoral College.
Electoral College.
Yes.
Thank you.
And some people have wanted to know where their classes are held. But we'll have to send them a catalog to be sure. 303-382-1150. Sarah in Highlands Ranch. Hi, you're live with Enid. Sarah, turn your radio down or off, please.
Okay. So what?
All right, Sarah. You're on the air. Can I ask you how old you are?
12.
You're 12?
Yeah.
You're a listener to talk radio?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Why?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either.
I just want to say that I think that if people are going to be a lot of people seem to be against Bush, and that if they're going to be against him for parents-wise, that they need to, like, because most of them are against him because of the Iraq War, but we're doing that to help them because they were, like, getting beaten and stuff. And so I just think that if parents are going to be telling their kids that it's right to help people, then they need to either support the Iraq War and not tell their parents or not tell the kids that it's right to help people.
Honey, we're not in Iraq to help people, even though that became the excuse. The reason we were told as a country that we were going into Iraq was that they had weapons of mass destruction and they could turn us into toast in 45 minutes. They could nuke us. And we would be toast in 45 minutes. It turns out that there are no weapons of mass destruction and that the war was sold to us on the basis of what amount to a lot of lies. And in fact, our leaders knew that they were trying to gin up a case for war. Saddam Hussein was always a bad guy. And what you may not know, Sarah, and this would be good to research, is that for a long time we, the government of the United States, supported Saddam Hussein. He was essentially on our payroll. Even during the worst of his regime when he was gassing his own people, we stood by and let him do it. Because he fought against Iran and Iran was our enemy. So we are it's a very complicated situation, and it isn't that he was a bad guy and we've come in to liberate everybody. He's always been a bad guy, but he was not a threat to us. And by using our resources to go in there to Iraq right now, where, by the way, there are a lot of suicide bombings and people are dying, a war that was sold to us under false pretexts. A lot of lies were used to sell us on going to war. What we are not able to do is to protect ourselves against the real terrorism that exists in other parts of the world that coming at us, because our first responders are over there fighting in Iraq. So if we're hit, if we were attacked in this country, and I'm thinking we're not going to be, so I don't want you to get scared about that, but if that were to happen, our first responders, the people that we would count on, the National Guard people, are all over in Iraq in a situation that was already contained. We didn't need to be there. So it isn't that he was a bad guy and we're helping these people who are under a horrible regime pick themselves up. That was really way down the list. And there are even worse guys than Saddam Hussein, worse and more brutal dictators. And we're not going after those countries.
Like the president in Cuba?
Not Fidel Castro so much as the people in the Congo, some of the African countries where they're really very quite brutal to people. So, on a brutality scale. So it's a very complicated. It isn't that Saddam Hussein was horrible and we're going in to make life better for those people. That's what they're saying after the fact. But it's way more complicated than that, Sarah. However, I'm delighted that you are listening. Does your teacher cover this stuff or are you just getting it at home?
Well, yeah, my teacher talks about some of it.
Okay, well, I hope you're going to call us again. And what grade are you in?
Seventh.
Seventh grade. You want to tell us what school you're in or no?
Crest Hill.
Crest Hill. Okay, Sarah, thank you for listening and call us some more, will you?
Okay.
Okay, bye. Thanks, honey. 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150. Steve Unicell, hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. How are you today?
Good.
I think the Ralph Nader thing, people need to look at a couple of things. I don't think that Bush, Kerry's going to be close enough that Nader's going to swing it. But two out of the last three elections now we've
had. Now, I know that you're a big Bush supporter. So if you don't think it's going to be close enough, are you who are you thinking is going to be in the big lead?
Bush is going to win by, I think, 6 to 7%.
Because he's got $200 million in his war chest?
Well, that is certainly going to help. I think that if you look at what's gone on so far, Kerry's voting record hasn't even been touched. I think come July we're going to have a big change in what the poll numbers are and what people are looking at. I mean, if you don't live in Massachusetts, you probably don't know a whole lot about John Kerry other than that he's a Democrat.
No, I know somewhat about John Kerry, but what do you think is going to do him in?
Well, he's got a terrible voting record on intelligence issues. He's got a terrible voting record on our weapon systems. Some of the conservative groups that are out there that...
when you say he has a terrible voting record, and what do you mean exactly?
Well, 26 of the current frontline weapon systems we have, such as the Patriot missile, he voted against it. He voted throughout the 90s. Every time there was a bill that came forth to cut intelligence spending, he voted for it. He's going to have big problems with his voting record.
So you're going on record to say that Bush is going to win by 6 to 7% in the next election.
That's correct.
Okay, I really hope you're not right about that. But
well,
we're going to see. Right now, the latest is that if Bush Cheney up against Kerry, it looks like Kerry would take it.
Well, right, but I don't. Like I said, right now Kerry has the spotlight. The Democratic primaries are going on. The biggest problem with
The Democratic primaries are not going to happen the primaries, yes, but the convention is not until July. By the way, I'm going to be there in Boston.
Okay, well, we expect a good report back from you. But the thing that people need
well,
to look at,
yes.
In 2000, clearly Nader swung the election for Bush, okay? If you go back to 92, Perot swung the election for Clinton. What people need to do, the gentleman that called earlier talking about voting for the message, I mean, I completely understand what he's saying, but you can't do that. You have to vote party, even if it's a candidate, even if this guy hates John Kerry.
That's right.
You're right.
On this, you and I agree. Absolutely. You've got to vote the party this time because you can appreciate Nader's message and you can appreciate how he may affect the dialogue. And if you really love him, contribute to one of his good causes that he's got many, many good causes.
Correct.
But voting for him is effectively voting for Bush.
Right. And that's absolutely right. And that's the point. You either... I mean, this guy is relegated to two choices. He can either vote for Nader, who has no chance of winning, and if Nader won, he'd get everything he wants, or he can vote for Kerry, which means he'll get some of what he wants, or if he votes Nader and Nader loses, he's going to get Bush, and I suspect that he probably doesn't like anything that Bush has to offer. So, you know, that's what the choice comes down to. You have to vote party.
Steve, I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Monday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC.
She's your midday rush alternative. Enid Goldstein on AM 1150 KNRC. Enid Goldstein, KNRC.
We have to talk.
My neighbor stopped by my house this afternoon and asked if I had any basil.
Unbelievable. I've been trying to find a house and a mortgage.
And she thinks I can drop everything to concentrate on dried leaves?
Coldwell Banker makes buying a home less stressful. And our family of companies can also handle your mortgage with a competitive rate and quick decision. Coldwell Banker. Visit coldwellbanker.com. All offices independently owned and operated except offices owned and operated by Energy Incorporated.
The KNRC Community Commitment.
Hi, this is Doug Kellett. Create a little history today and volunteer with the Colorado Historical Society. The Colorado Historical Society is seeking volunteers to work 8 hours a month in the museum store or at the admissions desk. Various shifts and times are available and training is provided. The Colorado History Museum is located in downtown Denver at 13th and Broadway. And for more information, call 303-866-3961 or log on to coloradohistory.org.
Monday is Cheap Chicken Day at Albertsons. 8 mouth-watering pieces of fresh fried chicken, only $3.99. Cheap Chicken Day, Monday at Albertsons, helping make your life easier.
Stay with KNRC right after Style Matters from noon to 2 this Saturday for a brand new show called Food Talk with Jim Conder. Jim will host a two-hour romp in the field of great food and drink. Interesting guests, delectables, food news, specialty foods, interesting food, food history, recipes, cuisines, cooking tips, and of course, restaurants. Food Talk with Jim Conder, KNRC's new food and restaurant forum. Saturdays noon to 2 on AM 1150, KNRC. Get better stock information than Martha Stewart got. CBS Market Watch, mornings and afternoons at 40 past the hour. Exclusively on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, I'm Doug Kelly. Join me weekday afternoons from 3 to 6 here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
12:54 on the Monday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock, and we'll be talking with Dr. Gene Bowles in the 2 o'clock hour. He was the neurosurgeon handling a lot of the cases that came in, casualties from Iraq. They were sent to Germany, and he lives in Boulder, and he also just bought the Boulder Dinner Theater, of all things. So we have a lot of things to talk to him about. Let's go to the phones. Ben, calling from Boulder. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid.
Hi, Ben.
I just wanted to make a couple comments. The first one about Steve Tucker's record as being a poor record, talking about all the security and whatnot. If you look at the exit polls from any primary that's gone on so far, security has finished at least third as the issue in just about every one of them, with the economy and Social Security being first as the issue. So I think that that's going to be a much bigger issue as far as that goes for who's going to be more electable and whatnot. And I think that that's going to help carry out quite a bit. And also, as far as what Rex said about Nader, about Colorado, his particular comment about Colorado being traditionally a red state. Well, if you look at CNN showed a statistic yesterday on the late edition with Wolf Blitzer that said that showed Colorado was, I believe, third in states with the most votes for Nader, Colorado.
What did Colorado do in the electoral department in the last presidential election?
As far
it
as
went
how
red.
How many electorals?
Yeah,
I'm not sure, but because it only gave a population vote, but it was.
Did it go for Bush as a state?
Colorado for sure. Colorado definitely went for Bush as far as population and as well as electoral votes, but. This breakdown was between the different states that where votes went to Nader, because Nader got a little over 2 million votes, I think, in the nation last election, and Colorado finished third in the most votes. So I think that it is a pretty major issue in Colorado that, you know, if you want Bush out of the White House, I think you need to think about whether you like Nader or not. You need to think about the issues.
There you go. Ben, I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. It's a tighter race. Newsweek is reporting that a Kerry Edwards ticket could beat Bush-Cheney. This is according to the latest Newsweek poll. And while Kerry remains the clear Democratic frontrunner, John Edwards increasingly appeals to voters. So he's somebody that you like better the more you get to know him. But here you go. Here you've got if the election were held today, now this means that nobody can get too complacent. Did anybody see, by the way, Sex and the City, the finale last night? I didn't get to see. I just got to see the tail end of it, so to speak. But here's the Borowitz report. Saddam denounces Sex and the City finale. Kerry should have declared jihad. Former Iraqi dictator Saddam Hussein denounced the final episode of HBO's hit series Sex and the City, complaining that Kerry, the columnist played by Sarah Jessica Parker, did not join in the jihad against U.S. forces in Iraq as he had hoped. While much of the speculation surrounding the Sex finale hinged on whether Ms. Parker's character would wind up with one of her beau, played by actors Mikhail Baryshnikov and Chris Noth, the former Iraqi dictator had apparently convinced himself in recent weeks that Kerry would leave Manhattan to join the insurgents in Iraq. According to a Red Cross worker who watched the final episode with the Iraqi madman, Saddam believed up until the closing minutes of the show that Kerry would decide to leave both Mr. Noth and Mr. Baryshnikov to attempt to spring Saddam from his Iraqi jail. But I guess she opted for Mr. Big, the other Mr. Big, right? Isn't that what Kerry did? In the end, Saddam really seemed pretty sure that Kerry was going to wind up with him. So Saddam denounces the Sex and the City finale. Did you like it? I mean, I just thought, I was never everybody loves it. There are a lot of people who are huge fans. And if some of you may know that I had the creator of Sex and the City on live in the studio. Candace Bushnell was here. And so she was really a lot of fun to talk to. I was never as big a fan as a lot of other people were, so forgive me for that. As we continue, two more hours of Enid coming up right here. I have more information on the CU scandal, stuff that I didn't know anything about that I think is extremely revealing. So I want to share that with you. And also a little bit on the Passion of Christ. Did you see Andy Rooney's commentary last night on 60 Minutes where he thinks that Mel Gibson is making money off of the crucifixion of the Savior? We'll discuss that. We have a lot to talk about. We have sex, drugs, rock and roll, and politics all coming up on Enid Live, the Monday edition, right here on AM 1150. Keep it right here.
Hear both sides talk. AM 1150, KNRC, Englewood, Denver. Enid Goldstein continues straight ahead. It's 1 o'clock.
Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 49 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by Albertsons. Students, faculty, and activists at CU Boulder are rallying to force changes in an investigation into sexual assaults by members of the CU football team. Bruce Morton reports.
The committee needs a new co-chairperson and a new timeline. This from a series of speakers at a campus rally before about 200 onlookers. They said co-chair Joyce Lawrence must be replaced because she has a stated bias against the six alleged rape victims. The speakers from women's organizations, both on and off campus, also said April 30 is too tight of a deadline to go over approximately 200 depositions. And some of those at the mic said football coach Gary Barnett should be fired. Bruce Morton, Boulder.
Ben Nighthorse Campbell's former chief of staff is coming under fire for allegedly taking kickbacks. Democrats are calling for a criminal investigation into the financial records of Jenny Kotnick, who resigned as Campbell's chief of staff Friday, citing personal reasons. A former Campbell aide claims that in 2002, Kotnick gave him an inflated bonus and then asked him to repay her $2,000 in return. Kotnick's assistant says the former chief of staff proposed the unusual bonus and reimbursement so she could pay a divorce attorney. Kotnick says she did not profit from the transfer, which she said was to cover her legitimate out-of-pocket job-related expenses. Democratic Party Chairman Chris Gates called for a criminal investigation by the Department of Justice. Campbell has declined to comment on the matter. Jury selection has begun in the trial of a man accused of killing his wife more than 2 years ago. Michael Blagg is charged with first-degree murder in the death of Jennifer Blagg, whose body was found in the Mesa County landfill. The couple's 6-year-old daughter still missing, presumed dead. 500 prospects filled out questionnaires today on what they know about the case. Selection could take up to 3 weeks, which could prompt a change of venue for the trial if a qualified jury can't be found. 41-year-old Blagg is free on bond and insists he's innocent. Blagg told authorities he reported his wife and daughter missing after coming home from work and finding a large pool of blood in their bedroom. As post-election violence spreads throughout Haiti, the United States is taking steps to protect its embassy there. The Pentagon is sending about 50 combat-ready Marines to Port-au-Prince to secure the U.S. facility. The decision follows rebels seizing the second-largest city in the Caribbean nation. A very serious strain of bird flu found at a Texas farm is garnering a federal response. The USDA and the CDC have sent teams to the farm located about 50 miles outside of San Antonio to monitor the situation. About 7,000 chickens have already been destroyed. Tests are being conducted at other farms in that area. Sparks are flying today at the White House between the president and some of the nation's governors. President Bush's education plan calls for more testing and remedial action for students not meeting goals. But states say they don't have the money to fund the No Child Left Behind program. Iowa Governor Tom Vilsack says the program can't work without more money from the federal government.
In my state, the underfunding is several hundred million dollars annually, which impacts our ability to attract quality teachers, buy sufficient supplies, have access to technology.
Bush is meeting with the governors today. Minnesota Governor Tim Pawlenty says he's happy with the president's commitment to public education. The state leaders are in Washington for the National Governors Association meeting. They're also grappling with the administration over funding for Medicaid. UN Secretary General Kofi Annan isn't ruling out elections being held in Iraq by the end of this year. However, Annan says work on a legal and institutional framework would have to start right away for any elections to happen by then. A report released today by the UN indicates it's more likely likely the preparations for an election will run into next year. Stocks continue lower heading into the last hour of today's trading session. The Dow is down nearly 31 points, the Nasdaq down 35, the S&P 500 down almost 6. In sports, the Denver Nuggets continue their road trip tonight with a stop in Memphis to play the Grizzlies. Nuggets beat the Grizzlies earlier this month at the Pepsi Center. On Saturday, the Nuggets lost to Miami. College basketball action tonight finds the Air Force Falcons visiting BYU to play the Cougars, while the Colorado State Rams play an away game against the San Diego State Aztecs. The Denver Broncos could lose a budding superstar. Reporter Adam Schefter with the Rocky Mountain News says the Broncos are close to a blockbuster deal with the Washington Redskins that could send Clinton Portis to Washington for next season. Schefter says the deal involves sending Portis to Washington, with Denver getting Pro Bowl cornerback Champ Bailey in return. Schefter reports the Broncos would also get Washington's second-round pick in the NFL draft. Broncos have not yet commented on that report. Monday is Cheap Chicken Day at Albertsons. 8 mouth-watering pieces of fresh fried chicken, only $3.99. Cheap Chicken Day, Mondays at Albertsons, helping make your life easier. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 105.
No matter what happens, where it happens, or how it happens, get the information you need here first. First, AM 1150, KNRC. KNRC.
Get up close and personal with the Colorado Symphony Orchestra in the only concert hall in America where the music literally becomes the center of attraction. The CSO is offering KNRC listeners 20% off tickets in the Parquet and Mezzanine 1 sections of Betcher Concert Hall for all Masterworks and Super Pops performances. These seats put you practically in the middle of the orchestra. You can watch the conductor's every move and hear the majesty and force of the music build before you. Horacio Gutierrez joins the Colorado Symphony Orchestra on February 27th, 28th, and 29th to perform Chopin's Piano Concerto No. 1. Tickets available at all King Supers, Tickets West outlets, and online at coloradosymphony.org. And to get up close and personal with the CSO, call 303-893-4100. That's 303-893-4100 for your KNRC listener offer. The Colorado Symphony Orchestra, the sound of your life.
KNRC News Time is 106. Time to check with Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is brought to you by the Air National Guard. Pretty good drive out there right now trying to clean up an accident in Hampton and Santa Fe, but really, other than that, you'll see a little slowing northbound I-20, or 225, approaching I-70. Money for college plus job skills from a part-time job, you bet, fuel your future in the Air National Guard. Call 1-800-2-GO-ANG. That's 1-800-T-O-G-O-A-N-G. I'm Darren Copeland with your traffic. You can hear Doug Kell at 3 to 6 on AM 1150 KNRC.
I'm Valerie Seagraves with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. It will be mainly cloudy through the day. A few peaks of sunshine possible. A high around 48. Moist air moving in from the south will bring flurries and a few snow showers tonight with a low of 24. Another mostly cloudy day tomorrow with a high of 41. And then a little more sunshine on Wednesday with highs in the upper 40s. For the Weather Channel, I'm Valerie Seagraves on AM 1150 KNRC.
Partly cloudy now, 49 degrees. KNRC News Time is 107. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 1:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
From AM 1150 KNRC, we think Denver's choice for talk. Now one of the Mile High City's most entertaining talk personalities, the Enid Goldstein Show. Here's Enid.
107, 7 minutes after 1 o'clock. Welcome to the Monday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. We have a lot going on today. We have Dr. Gene Bowles, on, who will be joining us live in studio in the 2 o'clock hour. He is a neurosurgeon, Boulder neurosurgeon. He just bought the Boulder Dinner Theater. But I am really interested in talking to him because I saw him widely quoted as the war got underway. He went over to Germany, and he was treating, including, I think, Jessica Lynch. He was treating a lot of the casualties that came through, and he saw firsthand the devastation of what it means to be fighting this war. So I really want to talk to him. He can talk about it, I think, in a way nobody else really can. And we're also talking about Tweedledum and Tweedledee, whether it makes a difference as to whether or not we have a Republican or a Democratic president. And this we're discussing because, why are we discussing this? Because Ralph Nader has jumped into the race 4 years ago when people told Ralph Nader that his Green Party candidacy might split the Democratic vote and elect Bush president, Nader and said Al Gore and Bush were so much alike that it really didn't matter who won. This is the New York Times lead editorial today. The worst that could happen, he sometimes added, was that Bush would turn out to be far more conservative than expected. That would then mobilize Democrats and create a healthy new sense of urgency about progressive issues. Well, 4 years later, the Democrats are nothing if not mobilized. Yet Nader isn't satisfied. He's running again, this time as an independent, to the horror of both friends and critics. It was Mr. Nader, they said, who drained votes away from Gore in critical states like Florida and New Hampshire, throwing the White House to Mr. Bush. The idea that he's prepared to do it again has made them both terrified and furious. And as I have said to you, a lot of Nader's organizations have taken major hits in funding. A lot of people absolutely won't give him a dime because they're so mad at him for having run in the year 2000. Their concern seems overblown. If Nader didn't learn anything from the 2000 election, the voters certainly did. People might have voted from once the impression that sending a message was more important than picking the next president. We doubt very much that they will make that same mistake twice. So much has happened in the last 4 years that it's hard to remember how low the stakes seemed when Gore and Bush were running. The country was at peace and prosperous. The big issue in Washington was what to do with the budget surplus. Gore kept changing his message, and Bush was promising to be a uniter, not a divider. Both men knew from their polling that victory would belong to the one who captured the affections of a small number of wavering voters in a few states, and both tried desperately to come up with a fuzzy centrist message to win them over. It is not surprising that in 2000 many people thought they could afford to express their irritation with a vote for Nader. If they did that again this November, it would be a repudiation of the Democratic nominee so thorough that the party would certainly have bigger problems than third-party candidates to worry about. The most regrettable thing, the New York Times says in its lead editorial, about Nader's new candidacy is not how it is likely to affect the election, but how it will affect Nader's own legacy. Ralph Nader has been one of the giants of the American reform movement. His crusades for consumer rights, product safety alone should earn him a place in history. But he has always been an outsider, and his candidacy in 2000 seemed fueled by bitterness at the way he had been marginalized in Democratic politics. His anger is understandable. But it would be a tragedy if Nader allowed it to give the story of his career a sad and bitter ending. Now, I think that's a very good editorial. I want to move on and talk about a couple of other things. First of all, I want to talk about the CU scandal. More is coming out, stuff that I hadn't thought about, things that we need to consider. Remember when CU got the ranking as number one party school? Well, you know what it did effectively? It reduced the applications of out-of-state students by at least 10% because a lot of parents did not want to plunk down that major dough to send their kids to a party school. And if you are a graduate of CU, do you think your diploma is devalued because you're a graduate of what's called a party school rather than a graduate of a school that's supposed to be teaching you something? 303-382-1150. This editorial about the CU scandal in the New York Times I thought was really telling. It was over the weekend, and I want to share it with you. This is Harvey Araton writing. Placed on paid administrative leave late Wednesday night by CU, the besieged football coach Gary Barnett said he disagreed with the decision by Elizabeth Hoffman but would abide by it because, quote, he's a team player. He sure is, writes Harvey. Barnett has no doubt been part of a cohesive and unyielding squad that has promoted and protected big-time college football over other campus interests. The unrelenting succession of college sports scandals pains the soul and numbs the senses, but let's make a distinction between Colorado and the recent basketball shame at St. John's. Out in Boulder, there are values that preceded Barnett by at least a decade, and they will outlast him unless something drastic is done, like shutting down the program to investigate the root causes of the dreadful events that have been alleged. Nothing is going to change at these schools until people start saying, we're going to shut you down, said the founder of the National Coalition Against Violent Athletes. It would be a beautiful message. Let me ask you this question. Should we go so far as to say to the CU Athletic Department, because this isn't just now, this scandal has been in the works for decades, shut you down. That's it. We're done. Clean house, gone. Forget about it. 303-382-1150, or is that, in your view, too drastic a solution? Gary Barnett will wear a tutu to his next news conference before shutting down football happens in Boulder, the New York Times writes. And as in so many university towns, College football and basketball are stitched into the community fabric. Even a longtime critic of the football program, who's one of Boulder's leading women's advocates, was startled by the suggestion of a shutdown, so she doesn't think it's great. A local TV station was broadcasting news of the latest accusations against a Colorado player, bringing to six, I think now seven, the number of women in recent weeks to say they were sexually assaulted. Another day, another allegation, another reminder of how the objectification of women, the sex parties for high school recruits, cannot be explained away as random acts of poor judgment or even the organized work of a few repellent jocks. How could they not know this was happening right under their noses? Whatever they didn't know, they apparently didn't want to know, and that goes for whoever was in charge. Under the former coach, Bill McCartney, a promise keeper, remember that? At least two dozen Colorado football players were arrested between 86 and 89. Under his successor, Rick Neuheisel, there were more than 50 rules violations in 4 years. Who has ever paid a price at Colorado, or who has taken a fall? Who, besides the occasional tenured professor, has stood up and said that football and its almighty revenue streams were not worth the havoc and the harm? It's been frustrating that people haven't held Hoffman's feet to the fire, said somebody who lives in Denver and has long been, said someone who's long been a critic of the Colorado program, among others. She said that the football situation was troubling in 2001, but she never planted her feet in the athletic department. So Hoffman had inherited this problem. She comes in around, what, 2000, 2001? Don't you think she should have been overseeing this more closely? And really, this thing has been dragging on, these allegations. It wasn't until Lisa Simpson case goes into federal court that she started to act, and really she needed a prompting from the governor's scathing letter to her and to the university, saying if they didn't do anything, he would. So she walks in, I'm questioning her leadership skills, she walks into a nest of snakes, and was she getting assurances from Dick Tharp? Was that why she felt like she didn't need to more closely oversee the situation? Dick Tharp's got to go. I mean, there's no question that he's got to go. It takes a village to raise a big-time college football program and conceal its blemishes. In Boulder, the police made no secret about officers assigned to work with the football program, saying the so-called athlete liaison unit was formed in the 1980s to help the players with social awareness and responsibility. Yes, like don't do rapes. Some watched the cozy relationship with coaches develop and began to suspect that the unit's purpose had become something entirely different. Mary Keene. Gary Barnett didn't raise this rotten program by himself. What do you think about that? He got hired. He got rehired. Neuheisel was hired. McCartney was hired. He's just the latest in a long line of people operating from the same playbook. 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150. PR experts are critical of CU. In or out of context, CU coach Gary Barnett's comments criticizing Katie Nida were a public relations disaster. Well, we know that. That's not new. CU's move may avert an NCAA hit. They're appointing a liaison between the athletic department and the president's office. May not be a sign that Betsy Hoffman's lost confidence in athletic director Dick Tharp. According to experts, in fact, the move may help prevent serious NCAA sanctions concerning a lack of institutional control. So maybe that's why she did it. Hoffman is now regretting some of her comments that she made on television. She's kind of backpedaling also. Governor Owens is alluding to the possible next step. Governor Bill Owens said Sunday, he was on Fox, that he's talking with Attorney General Ken Salazar and other state leaders about possible further action at CU's football recruiting controversy. Most of the talk in his interview centered on politics, but then the interviewer, Chris Wallace, asked him about the scandal. He says, I've been working both directly and indirectly to get to the bottom of this. It's a real embarrassment for a fine institution. This institution has done an outstanding job of educating generations of Colorado students. We're very concerned about what has apparently happened within the university program. So what do you do, though? Wallace asked. Well, I said the education is a fine component, Owen said, but the football has, in fact, been an embarrassment. So he said, actually, there may be more that I'll be doing in the very near future, but he's not spelling out what he's going to be doing in the near future. So, and it looks like Barnett's got a, they've got reasons for keeping Barnett in place for the time being. I think they have to do with employment issues. So we'll see how that all, we'll see what happens here. Barnett is moving, meanwhile, from one friendly microphone to another. He was on Larry King, where he got a bunch of puffball questions. He was on Mike Rosen, where he got another bunch of puffball questions. And so there it is, 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150. Should we close down the football program at CU? It's been decades of scandal there. Adam, calling from Centennial. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. How are you?
Good.
Hope you had a great weekend.
I did. It wasn't long enough, though.
No, I hear you. I wanted to point out, watching these parents last night on that news conference, I see so many similarities between this whole scandal and the Bush administration. I mean, people are just oblivious. I mean, it's like they don't, those parents got up there yesterday, like that Mr. Klatt, and he said, you know, this is a fine, upstanding, and wonderful program. And this, and it's like, no, it isn't. Look at what he said about the Katie Nida girl. And don't you see a lot of similarities between that and how people just, I mean, this guy has lied, he's cheated, he stole the election, and they just keep backing him up. Don't you see a lot of similarities?
Yeah, actually, now that you mention it, Adam, I do see some similarities. So is it a situation where people are throwing good money after bad? I remember seeing something a long time ago. A guy who was a genius at borrowing money from people. He had an ad agency, and this was in Chicago. And he spent it as fast as he took it in. I mean, he lived the high life, and people had so much money into him that they felt like they had to keep him afloat if they had even a prayer of getting back what they had put into him. And I wonder if some of the same odd logic doesn't obtain here, which is that people have been so supportive of the football department, or they've been so supportive of President Bush, they don't want to see that their support was misplaced, or that they would lie, that they were lied to. So it's like throwing good money after bad.
Well, and when you ask McClellan, you know, they ask him specific questions, and he just dances around it and won't answer them. Similarly, the parents were asked, well, what about this Katie Nida comment? Well, we don't want to talk about that.
Right.
So it's just amazing.
Yeah, well, they don't, yeah. Because when you're in love with somebody and your kid is playing, you know, big-time football,
exactly.
Big-time college football, you want to keep your kid in place there because you want a career for your kid in the pros, or you want to justify what your kid is doing, or you want to deflect any charges that your kid could be a thug or a rapist.
Those parents ought to be outraged like the rest of us, and they ought to be up there calling for Barnett's
head.
Well,
there should be the parents of the alleged, of the victims, or the alleged victims should be calling a news conference. And
let's
a lot of
them.
Outraged parents who are sending their kids to this university, and the university is selling their children's education, ought to be out there.
How about all of our tax dollars going up there?
Well, not
That's
to mention.
The other outrage.
Right. Adam, I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. That opens up one line. The lines are almost full. 303-382-1150. Jessica calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid.
Hi, Jessica.
My name is Jessica. I wanted to throw something into the mix here. I went to a local high school in the Denver area called Pomona High School.
Okay.
And that's actually where Coach Klatt teaches or coaches football. And he's the parent, you know, standing up there saying, hey, we support this coach. And as an you know, alumna of Pomona High School, I almost wonder if any of those tactics that he supports Barnett with is, you know, how he dealt with coaching the high school boys.
In other words, Coach Klatt stood up there and was supporting Barnett. Is that what you're saying to me?
Oh, yeah. Coach Klatt, Klatt was one of the guys you were just talking about with the last caller.
Okay.
Well, in front of everybody in that press conference.
I didn't see that press conference. And how do you spell his last name?
K-L-A-T-T.
Oh, Klatt. Okay.
Yeah. Joel Klatt, the quarterback for the
okay,
team.
Okay, Coach Klatt.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So here he is supporting Barnett.
Right.
Because these coaches all like to, they stick together. I think Barnett is part of the problem. In some ways, he's an ongoing part of the problem. I think he's got to go. In some ways, he inherited a problem, a culture that he didn't do anything. And Hoffman came in here when it was a problem in 2000, 2001. How come she wasn't exercising more oversight? What does that say about her leadership abilities? This was a thing that could have blown up in her face, and in fact, it has. And they dragged their feet, and they kept hoping to shove it under the rug, and the more they were successful until finally they weren't. And there it was, Zoom, for everybody to see. Jessica, thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. Matt, calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. How you doing?
Good.
Hello?
Good.
Yeah, I just one point I wanted to make. I saw this weekend Bill Maher's program on HBO, and he was sort of reciting the litany of scandals, you know, with Columbine, and Kobe, and was saying, what's going on out there in Colorado?
Must be in the water.
And
they have like hormones in the water here.
And I don't know, but I would sort of say that, you know, he was picking on Colorado a little bit, but I think this is a national problem, and I'm just...
It is a national problem, but all the sex seems to be getting exposed in Colorado. I don't know what to make of that.
Yeah, and I'm just astounded.
I thought they put fluoride in the water, but it must be sex.
Who knows?
Must be sex pills.
But I just am astounded. You know, whenever I hear politicians talk, especially election time, they're always flattering the people, you know, the American people. We want a nation as good as our people. And what I was going to say is that we are, frankly, a nation of liars, of cheaters, scandal mongers, we're adulterers. I mean, this is not just a college thing or a college football thing.
Oh, Matt, now you're sounding like me, but we are a nation of high ideals. Never mind never mind what we do. Don't do it. Don't look at what I do. Look at what I say.
Yeah, exactly. And
thank
another
you.
Thing
yeah,
that,
quick.
That, you know, we need to realize that football is arguably the most misogynistic sport we have out there. Women are absolute garbage to these men, to these coaches, and they're going to dismiss these charges because, honestly, in their heart of hearts, they believe women have it coming. They really do.
Matt, I thank you for the call. Do you agree with what Matt had to say? 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Monday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC.
Why listen to Rush when you've got Enid?
Love her as I love her, and there will be joy.
AM 1150 KNRC.
Ooh, Lord, yeah. It's time to celebrate Mardi Gras. Fat Tuesday, a Broussard Creole Cafe, a real Louisiana experience. The Broussard family invite you to share their authentic Louisiana dishes on Fat Tuesday, February 24th, with free red beans and rice for the first 50 people through the door starting at 11 in the morning. Share, we're talking about authentic Creole, scrumptious seafood gumbo, jambalaya, fried catfish, calamari, many dishes priced under $8, and no Mardi Gras will be complete without $3 hurricane served all day. It's going to be a real Creole party share where you can drape yourself with free Mardi Gras beads and let loose with the live rhythm and blues and Zydeco of Bo and Sam with Wild and Peaceful and featuring the famous Otis Tinsley. Come for lunch but plan to stay all day, share. Broussard Creole Cafe located right across the street from the state capitol on Colfax, just around the corner from the Denver Civic Center bus station. Call 303-861-0931. Fat Tuesday, the 24th at Broussard Creole Cafe. Alonzo on Bonto Relay.
Hi, I'm Judy Schwartz.
And I'm Evelinda Ehrman. We co-host Style Matters Live. Can we talk about your beauty salon? Are you sick of paying high prices, dealing with snooty people, and searching endlessly for parking?
We can solve your problem. Try Salon Mercedes, conveniently located at I-25 and Orchard. You'll feel at home with the friendly staff. I know I do. Enjoy plenty of free parking, reasonable prices, and unlike many salons, Salon Mercedes is open Mondays. Call 303-741-0606 for an appointment.
They're highly trained, experienced staff always gives great service. Salon Mercedes is the only Denver salon designated elite by Creative Nails Design, the top nail care company in the country.
Hairstylists use the best color line from Europe. The salon carries Bumble and Bumble and Pureology hair products and the Yonka Paris skincare line.
Salon Mercedes, located at I-25 and Orchard, open Mondays through Fridays 8 to 7, Saturdays 8 to 5:30. Gift certificates available. 303-741-0606.
Salon Mercedes, so close to you.
Join our Voice at Work fraternity. It's growing every day.
I listen in the morning when I'm getting ready for work, in the office, the car on the ride home.
If you support live and local radio for the Denver metro market, go to our website at knrcradio.com and click on the Voice at Work logo.
This is going to be the most astounding thing you've ever heard of.
If you listen to KNRC at your place of business, you'll get up to 10 free T-shirts for your employees.
Well, that stuff sounds pretty good.
When you sign up as a member of KNRC's Voice at Work program, our host will mention your business on the air as a local supporter of the station. Your place of business will be added to the Voice at Work portion of the KNRC website. We want all of our listeners to know the local places that support local radio. We'll also send you KNRC T-shirts, bumper static stickers, and commuter coffee mugs.
I mean, that's a great deal.
Go to knrcradio.com and join the Voice at Work fraternity. Another way to say thank you for listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
You guys are great. I love listening.
We have it on all the time.
KNRC. Hear one of Denver's most entertaining personalities, Doug Kellett, weekdays at 3.
It's here at last.
He's daring.
He's dashing.
He's dangerous.
He's beautiful.
He's Doug Kellett.
Doug Kellett. Hear both sides talk on AM 1150 KNRC.
Wow.
Lionel, would you join me every weeknight from 9 to midnight here on AM 1150 KNRC? Now back to Enid Goldstein.
1:30 on the Monday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 3 o'clock. I just get this email from Eric. Eric, I don't think you heard caller Jessica say that Coach Klatt is the father of CU quarterback Joel Klatt. Okay, no, I didn't hear her say that. Just to clarify, Arnie sends me this fax. What's going on in Colorado? Is there a stupidity virus that's running rampant up in Boulder? A group of impartial, that's in quotes, parents of CU football players whose kids get an enormous free ride through the school want their coach reinstated, most likely to protect the freeloading. They claim there's no evidence of any wrongdoing in the football program. Isn't stupidity a wrongdoing? The stupidity that major media across the country pointed out all week long, Barnett standing in front of cameras calling his former place kicker just a girl who was awful and couldn't kick the ball through the uprights, followed by a shot of her doing just that. Meanwhile, down in Denver this weekend, a crowd of screaming, self-appointed moralists spewed their hate of gay people, holding signs like, man and baboon doesn't equal marriage. What does man and moron equal? An insecure hate monger who has something he's hiding in his own closet. And up in the Capitol, Governor Goodness comes out in support of the sanctity of marriage, endorsing an amendment to ban gay marriage. Thank God he showed us all how he makes straight marriage work so well. And in City Hall, Denver's mayor has assembled a team of marketing geniuses to come up with some of the lamest branding ideas in recent history. Here's one for him. Come to Denver, but keep your daughters away from Boulder and Colorado Springs. So a comment from Arnie. You may want to comment on Arnie's comment. 303-382-1150. Kashmir calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hello.
Hi, Kashmir.
I think either it got to be one of two things. Either you're pro-woman, or you're a lesbian, because you believe that there is no wrong done by these women. I mean,
Wait.
Let me finish.
How do you get that dichotomy, Kashmir?
Well, I'm just thinking, because these women, I mean, if they're raped and all the things is going down with CU, I believe everybody should be persecuted to the fullest extent of the law. But at this point, the allegations, and you're just dumping and bashing on Barnett and everybody else for the comments he made on basically saying she's a terrible player. You know what? If she's a terrible player.
Are you saying that these women, that these women who come forward, all six of them or seven of them, whatever the count, the latest count is, are you saying that they've all lied and nothing terrible happened in the athletic department and nobody got raped? Is that what you're telling me?
By no means, but what I do think, I do believe that it's a classic case of monkey see, monkey do, and, you know, I believe that it might be a couple of...
Oh, like, take real. A number, take a number, who can, how many people can step up to the plate and say they were raped? Like, really, what do they have to gain by doing this, Kashmir? Why would a woman want to subject herself to the...
First off, you know, in this crazy life, I mean, you've been around a lot of people. Some people are just so wacky that they just want a little bit of attention. I mean, first off, the football player.
So this is like an advanced. This is like an advanced case of attention deficit. Is this what you're telling me, Kashmir?
No.
This is why these women are coming forward.
I don't know what to call it, but I will say that if you was raped, the first people you call the police right after it happened.
It depends on the situation. Maybe not. Maybe if you're the only girl on a football team and it was one of your teammates, you may not see anything, Kashmir.
I tell you this much.
We
played football with females and they were the toughest females. They're the type of females, if you put your hands where you're supposed to be, they'll kick you in the balls and that'll be the end of that.
I gotta say something, Kashmir. I think possibly you are the one who could be the lesbian here. 303-382-1150. Larry calling from Wheat Ridge. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Yes, Enid, this is Larry. Am I on?
Yeah, you are.
Oh, it's really good to hear your voice again. Enid, I've only been listening the last 15 minutes, but I think I got the gist of where you're standing on this. My question to you is,
are you a brand new listener?
No. I've talked to you a couple times before.
Oh, okay.
I'd like your kisses, but only if we were in San Francisco. Hey, Enid, seriously now, if you think that this Miss Snyder in New Mexico has a real case about rape, why do you think that she called Sports Illustrated and not the police when this thing happened?
I think, first of all, she didn't call Sports Illustrated when this thing happened. She waited about 3 or 4 years to make the story known, and she did it at a time when everybody else was coming forward. Clearly, she was afraid to come forward. But her father did have a talk with Coach Barnett. I don't think her father knew about the rape, but he did have a talk with Barnett about his daughter being harassed, and he couldn't get anywhere with Barnett. So we know that that much happened, and I can understand why she might not want to press charges. She gets dragged. It's expensive.
Yeah.
You've got to have an attorney. You get dragged through the mud, and there's a lot of unwanted scrutiny. I can see why she wouldn't do it. But what for you, it sounds like you don't believe her.
No, it's not that I don't believe her. That's not the point. The point is this. If someone's raped, that's a horrible crime. She called.
How's she going to prove it? How is she going to prove a rape 4 years after the fact?
She can't. Therefore, why would she even bring it up after there
because,
was recruiting party
undoubtedly it controversy? I'm guessing that it actually happened. I have no reason to doubt her. I believe her version of it. I believe that it happened, and that it wasn't safe for her to bring it up at the time. It probably would have been very tough for her to prove it, and she would have had no support. Now she has some support, and she's going to get even she was the person who was the straw that broke Barnett's back.
Can I speak now?
Yeah.
It seems like you're speculating a great deal on what you think she would have done or did happen. I'm going to say this. Any kind of speculation like this has to go in this direction as well, and it should carry just as much weight as your speculation. And here it is. She waited 4 years. Unfortunately, she was removed from the team, or she dropped off the team, or whatever happened, that she left Colorado and went to New Mexico. Second, she waited 4 years and just happened to be there was a recruiting scandal going on. She thought it was a great time to get Gary Barnett and the University of Colorado back for this so-called slam against her. All right, she's a very insecure young lady, apparently, and I don't know her, so I don't know, but this is what it seems like.
Yeah,
thirdly,
but it sounds
your
point quickly, Larry.
I want to make my point. My third part of my point is that this supports my speculation. She called Sports Illustrated, the magazine, the sports magazine, that is no longer a sports magazine. It's an entertainment magazine. And for that reason,
So wait a minute. You're not making any kind of a case at all. What you're saying is you don't believe her, and the fact that she called Sports Illustrated, which is still a sports magazine. My cousin was a managing editor there, so I know a little bit about that magazine. So you're saying that just because she calls Sports Illustrated and she doesn't call the police, that you're doubting her. And you're mad that Barnett was put on administrative leave. Is that what you're saying, Larry? You think unfairly?
No, it's not. I'm angry that more people haven't been included in this politically correct slam against everybody in the football program.
Yeah, but you don't have any evidence that she wasn't. Do you have any evidence that she was not raped? You don't know. You just want to believe that somehow she's slamming Barnett, and I don't see your evidence other than just a lot of speculation.
In a court of law. All right, if she doesn't have the guts to bring that to a court of law, then she wants to do this.
No, Larry, but you and I agree. How is she going to approve it? How is she going to prove it 3 or 4 years after the fact? And how would she have proved it at the time? And why would you even doubt her? Other than I would say, Larry, you got a problem with women, is what I'd say. 303-382-1150. Ann, on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid.
Yeah.
I just am so angry at all these men calling. The girls probably weren't raped because they didn't go to the police. It's been coming out since the 70s. The police give each other a wink and a nod when this comes in. Any kind of rape case.
Well, guys like...
Ann,
you're going to have to call back. I can't hear you on the cell phone. I'm so sorry, but I think I get the gist of what you're saying. You know what? These guys who are willing to back Barnett and they don't believe, all these women coming forward, are all of these fairy tales and pipe dreams? 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC. 1:39, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Enid. Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 49 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by the Air National Guard. A series of speakers at a rally at CU Boulder today said that co-chair Joyce Lawrence should be replaced on the committee that will investigate the recruiting and sex scandal at the University of Colorado. The speakers also said that the April 30th deadline is too soon for a thorough investigation. About 75 members of the 3rd Brigade Combat Team should be arriving at Fort Carson tomorrow. They're the first of about 4,500 troops from the brigade coming home this spring after being on duty in Iraq for nearly a year. Senator Ben Nighthorse Campbell isn't commenting, but Democrats are calling for a criminal investigation into allegations that the senator's chief of staff took kickbacks. A former Campbell aide claims that Campbell's chief of staff gave him an inflated bonus that asked him to repay her $2,000 in return. Money for college plus job skills from a part-time job? You bet. Fuel your future in the Air National Guard. Call 1-800-2GO-ANG. That's 1-800-T-O-G-O-A-N-G. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 1:40.
Or Enid Live.
And it's not the same for men.
Talking just gets you into trouble.
Next on AM 1150 KNRC.
The following conversation is real. It took place on November 20th, 2003, between an OnStar advisor and a subscriber.
Answer Center, this is Linda speaking.
Please hurry. This is an emergency. I need to get my car and launch my daughter's inside. She is, like, choking herself. She doesn't have her seatbelt on all the way. Please hurry. Please hurry.
May I have your home phone number with area?
Yes, 622.
If you get locked out, OnStar can send a signal to unlock your doors in most cases.
Please hurry, for God.
Okay, I'm sending the signal through to the vehicle right now. Okay, the door should be unlocked. Try your driver's side door.
Oh, my God. Oh, it's okay. Are you okay?
Many Chevrolet cars and trucks are among the 51 GM models available with OnStar. To learn more, visit your Chevy dealer or Chevy.com.
Hello, Ms. Kirsch. Is she okay?
She's fine. I just want to say thank you.
I'm glad we could be here for you when you needed us.
OnStar. Always there. Always ready.
KNRC News Time is 1:42. Time to go to Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is brought to you by Sky Ridge Medical Center and a couple problems that are trying to get cleared out, I should say. Colorado and Colfax off freeway, and then I-76 right at US 85. Bit of a problem there. Sky Ridge Medical Center's free family festival is February 28th from 10 to 3. Food, fun, health info, maternity and kids fashion shows, and Miles, the Denver Bronco mascot, I-25 in Lincoln, south of Park Meadows. I'm Darren Copeland with your traffic. Doug Kell, it's 3 to 6 on AM 1150 KNRC.
I'm Valerie Seagraves with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. It'll stay dry through the rest of this afternoon, but not a whole lot of sunshine. We'll be popping out around 48 for the high. We've got a lot of moist air pushing up from the south. We expect some flurries and a few snow showers throughout the night tonight with a low of 24. Mostly cloudy, low 40s tomorrow, and with a little more sunshine on Wednesday, highs in the upper 40s. For the Weather Channel, I'm Valerie Seagraves on AM 1150 KNRC.
Under partly cloudy skies, it's 48 degrees. KNRC News Time is 1:43. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 2 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hey, it's time to celebrate a tradition brought to the banks of the Mississippi in 1699. It's Fat Tuesday, also known as Mardi Gras. You don't have to travel far to have a jubilant time. Broussard's Creole Cafe kicks off Fat Tuesday at lunchtime with free red beans and rice for the first 50 people. Drape yourself with free Mardi Gras beads. Join the hoopla at Broussard's Creole Cafe on the 24th, where Gumbo the Gator will be there to entertain the kids and let loose with the rhythm and blues of Bo and Sam with Wild and Peaceful. Also featuring special guest, the famous Otis Tinsley, a New Orleans star piano player. Mardi Gras wouldn't be complete without the $3 hurricane served all day. The tradition of King Cakes lives with drawings for King Cakes and restaurant certificates. Frolic among the traditions of Mardi Gras, going on all day at Broussard's Creole Cafe. Just across from the Capitol on Colfax. Broussard's is owned by a family from Louisiana that knows how to provide authentic Creole food and jovial jazz. And don't forget to inquire about their banquet facility. Call 303-861-0931.
KNRC Market Watch.
Stock markets remain lower. Inside the final hour of trading, Dow Industrials are now down 25 points. NASDAQ is losing 34 points. The S&P 500 is now off 5 points.
This is one of those days where there's no economic data, very little corporate news except for the esoteric M&A activity that's going on, so we don't have a big driver.
Sart Hogan, chief market analyst at Jefferies & Company, says the market will seek direction later in the week from reports on housing and jobs. Wall Street continues to suffer at the hands of Intel, the busiest stock of the day. It's down over a dollar after the company confessed that it could be liable for some $600 million in federal back taxes. Word the Pentagon will cancel the $38 billion Comanche helicopter program, Also weighing on the Dow Industrial Average as both Boeing and United Technologies, which are co-developing that chopper, lose ground. Boeing right now off about 75 cents. United Tech down over $3. Again, the Dow is off 26 points. I'm Joe Matthew in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Should you buy or sell those stocks on Monday? Find out Sunday afternoons at noon with Ron Asana of CNBC. The name in business. Exclusively on AM 1150 KNRC. Goldstein Show continues on AM 1150 KNRC.
1:45 on the Monday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. We'll be talking with Dr. Gene Bowles in the 2 o'clock hour. He is a neurosurgeon living in Boulder and was working in Germany as, I think, the only neurosurgeon for a while treating the casualties that came in, including Jessica Lynch. So I'm very interested to talk to him about what he saw and what his thoughts were. He's also just taken over the Boulder Dinner Theater, of all things. What an interesting combination. So he'll be joining us live in studio in the 2 o'clock hour. We are talking about the CU scandal. We are talking about some of you who are men who don't believe women like Katie Nida. You don't believe that she's telling the truth, apparently, because she didn't press criminal charges and because she waited so long to come forward. So you're doubting her veracity. Are you doubting the veracity of all the women who have come forward here? All six or seven or eight of them. I don't know how many there are now. 303-382-1150. And do you have any evidence for your doubt? Chris, calling on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. I'm a first-time caller.
Oh, wait a minute.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
I've been listening to you for a long time. I identify with so many of your positions on Bush completely. But regarding this whole CU thing, I try to consider myself a very kind of gentlemanly kind of guy and try and be as conscious of, you know, what I am and my effect on people as possible. But my first year at a university, I joined a fraternity because my best friend was in there. And literally for that year, I became the biggest jerk I have ever been in my entire life.
because you joined a fraternity and you got...
Yeah, because it's just...
There was like the jerk germ going around?
Really, I mean, you're around all these guys, and a lot of guys are just pigs, and so, I mean, you just kind of feed on that. And, I mean, just being a part of, like, a CU football team, I mean, I can't imagine what, I mean, their egos are like. So... I would say probably all these women are telling the truth, and there's probably a lot that hasn't come forward yet.
That may very well be, but it's very interesting to me that a lot of men who are big football supporters and Coach Barnett supporters are very quick not to trust the women here. So, and with no particular evidence, I think you'd have to be whacked out to come forward and allege a rape if you're a woman if it didn't happen.
Oh, and it's something horrible to go through. Actually, my wife, I mean, I'm not going to bring up her name or anything, but, I mean, she was molested by her grandfather, and, I mean, she didn't tell anyone for, you know, over a decade. And it's just something that a lot of women, they don't feel like they can talk about, period, until they feel strong enough to.
Until they feel strong enough to, or until the climate changes where they can come forward with it and not be mowed down as a result of it. I thank you for the call, Chris. I hope you'll call us again. 303-382-1150. Jake, on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Jake.
Hello.
Welcome.
Am I on the air?
You are. What's on your mind?
Oh, thank you so much. I got right on there through your producer and screener. My name is Jake, and I just want to make a comment pretty much about the whole circumstance, especially about these male callers who seem to not believe the women. And I'll just use all of the women collectively that something happened. I just want to make a comment about my circumstance. I have a 10-year-old daughter who is a very gifted athlete and plays ice hockey on boys' teams. There's not enough girls in her particular town that she lives in, so she plays on and with a boys' team. And in many cases, she's highly and better skilled than they are. I see some of the parents and how they react to her in some of the circumstances. And the other day when I was sitting at the game watching her in a tournament over the weekend and thinking, tears came to my eye, thinking that if something like this happened to my child because of a male perspective, I don't know how I would handle this. And so when people call up and say, especially these men who are calling up and saying they don't believe Katie Nida and her father, that something like this happens, it just, again, just makes me so
Well,
angry.
I think you could start to shed a tear because what's going to happen, first of all, because she's better than some of the boys she's playing with, she's already set apart. And because she's a girl, she's set apart twice. And when you're really good, unless you learn how to handle it diplomatically, what happens is it inspires a lot of jealousy. And as she gets older, if she's going to be on a male team, she opens herself up for some of these things that you're seeing now, women coming forward.
Well, she's obviously at an age where in the next year or two when they start to play a lot more aggressively using checking in hockey where you kind of block each other down, she will have to probably go and play with a girls' team. And there are a couple of teams in Colorado and Wyoming that will allow her to do that. But I think one of the things that is being missed about this whole situation is why would there be any question about integrity here if it didn't happen? And I'll take my comments and off the air. And thank you very much.
You're very welcome, Jake. Show. Thanks for calling. 303-382-1150. That opens up a line. The lines are just about full. Tyrone calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
How you doing, Miss Enid?
I'm good, Tyrone.
Hey, I'm kind of puzzled about, you know, you having a double standard for opinions. You know what I mean? When I listen to you talk about this girl and her experience, and out of the six, all of them can't be lying. You act as if, you know, you have some evidence of the truth, you know? I mean, as far as I'm concerned, it's been about...
Well, you have women going and filing police reports. You have one case at least in the federal court. So clearly, somebody has gone to the trouble, people have gone to the trouble of filing reports and retaining attorneys and taking this thing through the courts.
Enid, the first thing I heard you say when I turned on my radio was that CU was rated as the number one party school of the nation, okay? That in itself raised red flags about the promiscuous lifestyle on college campuses, okay? Now, granted, there's three to every one guy that goes to school in CU. The truth of the matter is that you're going to have people that's going to have conflicts of interest. Some people are going to have bad, you know, things behind what they do. But I don't think it's fair for you to weigh judgment one way or the other.
You don't think it's fair, Tyrone? Let me see if I have this right. You don't think it's fair for me to have an opinion on my own show? Is that what you're telling me?
I don't say it's not fair for you to have an opinion, but it seems as if you inflicted your opinion upon others who have opinion contrary to yours.
Well, we're having a debate about it.
Well, like I said, I just feel, you know, they're the number one party school of the nation. That rings a bell about the wild things that goes on those campuses, okay?
All right, Tyrone, we'll leave it there, and I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Monday edition of Enid Live, where Tyrone thinks I shouldn't have an opinion on my own show on AM 1150 KNRC.
She's your midday rush alternative. Enid Goldstein on AM 1150 KNRC. Enid Goldstein, KNRC.
We have to talk.
Hi, folks, this is Larry King. Do you feel like you're missing out on the potential health benefits of the French paradox because you don't drink red wine every day? Well, it turns out that you may get many of the same benefits from Welch's 100% grape juice. That's because purple grape juice contains powerful antioxidants like the ones found in red wine. What's more, Welch's purple grape juice is fat-free, cholesterol-free, and certified by the American Heart Association. So forget the corkscrew, twist open a bottle of Welch's purple grape juice, and then... drink to your health.
The KNRC Community Commitment.
The Denver Lyric Opera Guild is celebrating its 20th year, and you're invited to attend the annual finals competition judged by prominent leaders in the opera world. The Denver Lyric Opera Guild has awarded over $500,000 in scholarships to aspiring young Colorado singers. The final competition is free and open to the public on March 20th, 7 p.m. at Hamilton Hall in the University of Denver Newman Center. Join the Denver Lyric Opera Guild and hear some of the finest young singers in Colorado.
For a limited time at participating Taco Bell locations, go clubbing with crisp bacon and marinated all-white meat chicken in the savory Club Chalupa. When you want quality, think outside the bun.
Talk to Lionel.
Federal officials said they favor premarital education programs that focus on high school students. Now let's get down to brass tacks. Question number one. Do you want the federal government teaching, promoting marriage? No. The worst thing to do to promote anything is the government. The government. It's terrible.
Lionel, weeknights from 9 p.m. to midnight on AM 1150 KNRC. Get better stock information than Martha Stewart got. CBS Market Watch.
You, some of you think I'm too trusting of the women who have come forward and not trusting enough of Coach Barnett. Well, that would be a fair assessment. But many of you are big Barnett supporters, and you think I'm wrong, and I shouldn't have an opinion on this. I think Barnett needs to go. I think Tharp needs to go. And I'm questioning whether Elizabeth Hoffman is the right leader for this for CU. James, on the cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
I'm sorry. Is this James?
Yeah, welcome.
Okay, I'm sorry. Listen, I just wanted to say that, I think you hear a lot of guys who get really defensive around this stuff. And I'm really tired of hearing it. I'm tired of hearing the guys talking about how, well, you know, these women are going to party schools, and then they go to parties where there's alcohol and drugs, and they really, you know, they got to look out because Lord only knows what could happen to them when you get a bunch of football players in the room. That's just a ridiculous statement, and I'm just sick of hearing it. So I'd like for the guys to be able to stand up and say, you know, this is not what we want in our society, in our, you know, in our schools. And if the football program is so important that men are going to just talk about how, you know, women, you know, it's their responsibility, then we really got to look at our priorities.
I don't think these guys in the football program are going to stand up and say those things. I mean, there's way too much writing on it. They're looking for careers. They're getting a free ticket here for an education, a lot of them. Aren't they on athletic scholarships, a lot of the players?
Yeah, well, that's true. And, you know, I mean, I think the football program, sure, that's fine. We need football. We need women's sports.
Yeah, why do we need football? What do we need it for? I never I used to go to the games when I was in college, when I was an undergrad. I never did figure out football, but I know I'm in a minority. A lot of people love football.
Well, you know, I mean, I'm not the kind of guy that sits around on Saturday afternoons and watches five games in a row. But, I mean, I think if we're going to have sports programs, we've got to make it equal. And women have to have a place in the programs. And we also have to have a situation where the men are not, you know, they're not creating a hostile environment for these women.
Well, this is nice, but I would say dream on. James, thank you for the call. I mean, I hate to be as cynical as I know I sound. Hal, I'm in Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. I'd like to make this point. I really think this is a civil rights issue, that the civil rights of football players are greater than those of the nobody women that complain.
Are you an attorney?
No, I'm not an attorney. But I've been around since the 60s. I've got to say that this attitude is very similar to the resistance to the black point of view that occurred in the 60s. And I might add, just to tie it all together, the gay issue, the gay marriage issue, is also being met with the same kind of resistance. And that's kind of disturbing because we all should be concerned about it, whether we have a stake in this fight or not, because it'd be the first time if they ever pass this kind of amendment that restricts gay marriage, that they'd ever really use the Constitution to restrict somebody's civil rights. And if they do that to anybody, any group, even if you don't think that it applies to you because you're not gay, it's doing it to all of us, the same way as the civil rights restrictions we're doing it.
Well, there was something. They came for the blacks and I wasn't black. They came for the Jews and I wasn't Jewish. They came for, you know, so by the time they come for you, there's nobody left to support you, is essentially. We're going to leave it there, Hal. We're out of time in this hour. I thank you for the call. The Greek ideal, body and mind. Well, the body, so much for that. I guess that's not happening at CU. Don't go anywhere. One more hour of Enid coming up right here. Joining us in the next hour, live in studio, Dr. Gene Bowles. He is a neurosurgeon. He is just bought the Boulder Dinner Theater, just taken it over. And he was treating a lot of the casualties, including Jessica Lynch, when they came into Germany. We'll be talking about what has really gone on there.
KNRC 1150. Hear both sides talk. AM 1150, KNRC, Englewood, Denver. Enid Goldstein continues straight ahead. It's 2 o'clock.
Good afternoon, partly cloudy, 47 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by the Air National Guard. The committee charged with investigating six rape allegations involving University of Colorado football players needs to be revamped. That word today from a bunch of women's groups who held an on-campus rally. Among the speakers was Georgina Solomon of Students Advocating for Fair and Equal Treatment, who says one of the panel's two co-chairs has got to go.
This panel contains some very biased members. We want Joyce Lawrence off this panel. She is a blatant victim-blaming person.
Solomon said Lawrence, in an interview, wondered why women would attend parties where there is plenty of alcohol and football players. Some of the speakers also said the panel's April 30th deadline doesn't allow enough time for perusal of approximately 200 depositions. Still others said football coach Gary Barnett, currently suspended with pay, should be fired. About 75 soldiers are coming home to Fort Carson. The soldiers with the 3rd Brigade Combat Team are scheduled to arrive at Fort Carson tomorrow. They're the first of about 4,500 troops from the brigade coming home from Iraq this spring. The soldiers shipped off to Iraq nearly a year ago. The brigade makes up about one-third of the 12,000 troops at Fort Carson. Officials hope at least 1,000 soldiers will be back home with their families by the end of the week. The city will honor all the soldiers with a parade on June 5th. Colorado U.S. Senator Ben Nighthorse Campbell isn't commenting, but Democrats are calling for a criminal investigation into allegations that the senator's chief of staff took kickbacks. Ginny Kotnick resigned as Campbell's chief of staff on Friday, citing personal reasons, but an aide to Campbell says that in 2002, Kotnick gave him an inflated bonus, then asked for $2,000 repayment in return. Kotnick's assistant says the former chief of staff proposed the unusual bonus and reimbursement so she could pay a divorce attorney, but Kotnick says she didn't profit from the transfer, which she said was to cover her legitimate out-of-pocket job-related expenses. Democratic Party Chairman Chris Gates called for a criminal investigation into Kotnick's financial records by the Department of Justice. A contingent of about 50 Marines has been summoned to Haiti to protect the U.S. Embassy in the capital city of Port-au-Prince. White House spokesman Scott McClellan says the deployment was ordered at the request of the U.S. ambassador in Haiti.
Well, I think what we're doing to help in Haiti is to bring about a peaceful political solution to the current crisis. This is a political situation that requires a political solution.
Haiti has been racked by violence since February 5th. Rebels are demanding that Haitian President Jean-Bertrand Aristide resign. The U.S. is hesitant to get too involved in Haiti since Aristide runs a democratically elected government. The head of Florida's Democratic Party is calling presidential hopeful Ralph Nader, quote, the Benedict Arnold of modern democracy. Scott Maddox says Nader knows he cannot win in November, but he's only running for president to act as a spoiler. In 2000, Nader received nearly 100,000 votes in Florida, far more than the 537 votes that separated Al Gore and George W. Bush. 29-year-old Patrick McSorley, one of the most outspoken critics of the Catholic Church and an alleged victim of a convicted pedophile priest, has been found dead in his Boston apartment. Judy Ewell reports from Boston.
McSorley was found dead in a Boston apartment this morning. McSorley was a victim of the late defrocked priest John Gagin. Attorney Mitchell Garabedian says Patrick was very honest and showed raw emotion about the abuse he endured. And in his words, Patrick conveyed that feeling to the world, and the world understood him. Garabedian says he spoke to McSorley last Friday, and while Patrick was concerned about the status of some sex abuse cases, he seemed fine over the phone. Garabedian says he does not yet know the cause of death. I'm Judy Ewell in Boston.
Martha Stewart's lawyers are looking to get the securities fraud charge against the domestic diva thrown out. However, the judge hearing the case says she'll need more time to decide if such action is warranted. Motions for dismissal like this one are often made at the end of the prosecution's case and usually not ruled on until the end of the defense case. Stocks continue lower just before the close of today's session. The Dow was down 6.5 points. The Nasdaq down nearly 30. The S&P 500 down almost 5. In sports, the Denver Nuggets are in Memphis tonight to play the Grizzlies. Earlier this month in Denver, Nuggets beat the Grizzlies. Nuggets coming off their Saturday loss to the Heat in Miami. On the college basketball side, the Colorado State Rams are in San Diego to play the San Diego State Aztecs, while the Air Force Falcons head next door to Utah to play the BYU Cougars. So far, the Denver Broncos aren't commenting, but Adam Schefter with the Rocky Mountain News says the Broncos may trade Clinton Portis to the Washington Redskins. TOGOANG. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 2:05.
More and more Denver radio listeners are tuning to AM 1150 KNRC and our unique Both Sides Talk approach.
This is the only radio station that I have programmed into my radio at home.
I think it's absolutely wonderful that the station has as a goal that it wants to hear both sides.
Perhaps you'll be our next satisfied customer. Hear both sides talk. Our personalities welcome opposing sides. AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, I'm Evelinda Irvin.
And I'm Judy Schwartz. We co-host Style Matters Live.
Even if you're not born with great style, you can buy it.
Just like we do. And this extends to our homes. Element, Denver's newest furniture store for urban home furnishings, accessories, and artwork, meets all our style needs and will meet yours, too.
Element has multifunctional furniture to maximize your space in a condo, apartment, loft, or smaller home. The clean lines of Element's furniture for today's urban lifestyle will work with what you already own.
You'll love their eclectic mix of styles, all presented in a way you can envision in your own home.
Prices are affordable, with lamps as low as $100 and sofas starting at about $1,000. Interior design services are available.
Element is open Monday through Friday, 11 to 6, Saturday, 10 to 7, and Sunday, 1 to 5. Element is located at 77 West 9th Avenue, a half a block west of Broadway in the Golden Triangle. 303-825-3770.
Element. Your lifestyle, your home, your element.
KNRC News Time is 2:06. Time to check the roads. Here's Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is brought to you by James Hardy Building, and really looking pretty good around the metro area, unless you're on Colfax. Had an earlier accident, Colfax and Colorado. Now an accident popping up in the Aurora area, Colfax and Peoria. Everywhere else, though, looking pretty good. Visit Pradera in Parker for homes carefully crafted with durable, low-maintenance James Hardy siding products by D.R. Horton's Continental Series. For more information, call 303-840-5981. I'm Darren Copeland with your traffic. You can hear Jimmy Lakey in the morning starting at 6 on AM 1150 KNRC.
I'm Valerie Seagraves with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. We'll keep more clouds and sunshine, and as the moist air to the south pushes up, looks like we'll see a few flurries and maybe some snow showers a little later tonight. A high today of 48, overnight lows tonight in the lower 20s. It'll be mostly cloudy in the low 40s tomorrow, and on Wednesday, a little more sunshine with highs in the upper 40s. For the Weather Channel, I'm Valerie Seagraves on AM 1150 KNRC.
Under partly cloudy skies, it's 47 degrees. KNRC News Time is 2:07. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 2:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
From AM 1150 KNRC, we think Denver's choice for talk. Now one of the Mile High City's most entertaining talk personalities, the Enid Goldstein Show. Here's Enid.
2:07, 7 minutes after 2 o'clock. Welcome to the Monday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. And with me in studio, Dr. Gene Bowles. He's a neurosurgeon. He lives in Boulder. He was, for a while, when the war got underway, really he was at Landstuhl Medical Center in Germany, and when the war got underway, he was the only neurosurgeon there for, I think, about the first year. He is the new owner of the Boulder Dinner Theater. He's live with us in studio. Thank you so much for joining us, Dr. Bowles.
You're welcome.
Talk to me about why you would go from, were you in private practice in Boulder?
Yes.
And as a neurosurgeon,
yes.
Why would you now suddenly go to Iraq or go to Germany to work at Landstuhl to work on these incoming casualties from the war in Iraq? Why would you do that? Were you a part of the reserves? Is this something you just decided to do on your own, or how did it come about?
Well, I think it was a combination of events. No, I was not in the reserve, although I had served in the military back in the 60s in the Vietnam era, and I was drafted, actually, out of my training program. And
you should have been in George Bush's champagne unit.
I think I was in Lyndon Johnson's. But at any rate, I was drafted out of my internship, which I was doing here at the University in Colorado.
You mean, I thought people went to school, to medical schools and to everything else to get out of the draft, but it didn't keep you from being drafted?
No, at the time, we could join a program. At that time, it was called the Barry Program, that would allow us to go on into further training and not be eligible for the draft. And I was just busy and never got it done, and so I was drafted. And I had a adventurous and wonderful experience in many, many ways at that time. I served as a division surgeon and division flight surgeon, and at that time was stationed in, for the most part, in Germany.
So the casualties coming in, you were treating those casualties?
At that time... No, I was mainly involved with flying units for our soldiers as a flight surgeon.
Okay, so now fast forward. Now you have established a medical practice in Boulder.
For 32 years.
For 32 years. And you decide, how has it come about that you're now going to go to Germany, to Landstuhl, to handle these incoming Iraqi casualties, or American casualties because of the Iraq war?
Well, I was, excuse me, I was contemplating retirement. And however, over many years, I've done other forms of what I'd considered humanitarian work and missionary work. I've gone to Albania almost yearly since 1990. I did work in Belize, and I've done some in Mexico. And so this has been an interest of mine. I had interviewed with Doctors Without Borders and was actually being recruited to go to Sri Lanka at the time this came up. And as I said, I was thinking of retiring from my private practice. And 9/11 came, although this had been discussed shortly before 9/11. It was 9/11 that convinced me, I think, and them that that's what I wanted to do. And so I was offered a position as chief of neurosurgery at Landstuhl Regional Medical Center in Europe.
And you took it what year?
That would have been 2001, I think.
So right after 9/11, that's when you go to Germany.
Yes.
And now you're there, and we are at war.
Yes.
What was the before and after? You're at Landstuhl, and what are you treating at Landstuhl before we go to war?
I wasn't there before we went to war. I arrived there November 25th, and I don't remember the exact dates, but I know within a few days of my arrival there, we were treating casualties from Afghanistan.
From Afghanistan?
Yes.
Okay. And now, fast forward, now the Iraqi war is underway. And you were widely quoted as talking about, because we still are not seeing very much in the way of reporting of the casualties and the immense toll these casualties have taken on in altering people's lives forever, for good. We know that the body count is something like 500 and some odd people dead. But we're hearing that even that count is not an accurate count, that it's been somehow politically manipulated. But talk about what you saw. I know you operated on Jessica Simpson.
Jessica Lynch.
Jessica Lynch. And so talk about what you can talk about, what you saw coming in, the kinds of casualties, the numbers of casualties. Tell us what it was like.
Well, We saw, yes, many, many. The war in Afghanistan still goes on to some degree, as well as it is going on in Iraq. In the initial buildup of Iraq, we noticed that we became busier and busier, and we were receiving a lot of injuries and a lot of illness coming out of the theater. Then when the war started, of course, we began to see casualties from bombs and guns and things of that nature.
What were the numbers coming in? And if you're just tuning in, my guest is Dr. Gene Bowles. He's a neurosurgeon with a longtime practice in Boulder who decided when it was getting close to retirement time that he wanted to do something in the nature of service and wound up in Landstuhl. And at a time when the casualties are starting to come in from both Afghanistan and Iraq, he now is the new owner of the Boulder Dinner Theater, which we'll talk about also. But tell me, what kind of numbers were you seeing coming in? You were, for the first year or so, the only neurosurgeon.
Yes.
And what did that mean that you did? How many people were coming in, if you were to guess? Give us a flavor of what it's like.
I suspect I was seeing patients all day, every day, during the week, that were outpatients coming through with various forms of injuries. In addition, we had a number of patients coming in into the hospital that had been wounded or injured in other ways. And the overall count was somewhere as early on in the nature of 50 to 60 patients per day would be coming in. That was for not just neurosurgery, that was for the entire hospital. And when I left a month or so ago, we were still seeing 30 or 40, average of 30 or 40 a day. of patients that were coming into the hospital as either outpatient or inpatient. The total numbers I've been told were in the sum of around 11,000 that we had treated there through both, I think, Afghanistan and Iraq, of patients coming in. And I need to preface it that those are total patients. Those weren't just patients that were injured with bombs or bullets or grenades. Those were patients that were injured in many other ways as well, which always happens during wartime.
Talk about the kinds of injuries you saw, people who were injured because of the bombing and because of the fact that we were at war. What kinds of injuries did you see? You were quoted as talking about how these people's lives will be forever altered.
Yes. Most of the people that fight our wars are young people. Many are teenagers or in their very early 20s. and those were the types of patients that I was seeing, both female and male. More male than female, but a number of women also. And many of their injuries are, of course, horrific. War is just complete hell. And people are very, very devastatingly injured by loss of arms, legs, hands, loss of sight, loss of hearing, things that disable them for the rest of their lives.
Paraplegic, quadriplegic.
Yes, yes.
Where does a neurosurgeon get involved?
Neurosurgeon gets involved. I took care of all the spinal injuries and all the spinal problems throughout the theater. I was the spine surgeon for the area.
You were the only neurosurgeon there for the first year.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
So you were probably extremely busy.
We were very busy. And but in addition to spine, of course, I took care of the intracranial or head injuries or head problems that people have. Fortunately, I had good working relationships with the German hospitals in the area, German medical centers, and was able to work with them as well. And
so you were doing brain surgery also?
Yes.
And spine surgery. So
yes.
you were seeing some of the toughest cases.
I would say so, yes. I don't want to say that I hesitate to use the word toughest cases. I mean, they were often the sickest of the group, but general surgeons, of course, were dealing with very, very badly injured and sick patients as well.
So you have teenagers coming in, 18 years old, 19 years old, 20 years old, coming in hale and hearty to the war. And by the time you see them, they're shattered and fractured and spinal cord injuries, brain injuries, lots of other things. Can you describe the process for somebody who has started out hale, hearty, patriotic, and in a very short period of time winds up in your care because his or her life has been irretrievably altered?
Could you phrase your question a little further? I'm not sure what you're asking.
What happens when you were looking at a lot of these people coming in? Could you see a pattern of people who in just a short time before were fine, looking forward to their futures, and now suddenly everything is shattered and different? Their bodies don't function very well or the same way that they once did. They're suffering emotional trauma. They're suffering physical trauma. Maybe they're quadriplegics now. Maybe they're paraplegics. Maybe they've suffered tremendous head injuries. What would the pattern be of, I mean, it would seem like you'd be surrounded by tremendous depression in these patients. You know, there are stories now. There was a big story in the Sunday New York Times cover story, Sunday Magazine of the New York Times about a week ago, following some of these people now at home. They hear sounds, they dive under the table, and they can't, they're depressed. No cocktail of antidepressants seems to address the problem. They don't function like they once did. What did you see when you saw them in the raw stages?
Shirley, I think what you've just talked about is something that is now becoming a reality. I think that in the early phases of these horrific injuries, I think it is almost unreal to many of the people that are injured. They're confused about it. I think they all think they're going to get better. And in a way, perhaps fortunately for us, most of the time, we would treat the patients, resuscitate them, get them in well enough so that we could put them on an airplane and they would be AeriVac then back to the United States, usually going back to Walter Reed or Bethesda in Washington.
So you'd stabilize them?
We would be stabilizing them. So fortunately for us in some ways, we didn't deal with
The aftermath of the emotional trauma.
It
sunk in that their lives were not going to be the same.
I think that's true. I mean, as a doctor, of course, I've witnessed that over many years. And I know what they are. I mean, I feel I know what they must be going through at the present time. I think what we did see and is ongoing is degrees of depression amongst the people taking care of these young men and women. There was emotional upheaval amongst the staff and amongst the people that are dealing with this, the medical people.
They're having to keep up their spirits.
Absolutely.
Dealing with these horrific injuries of people coming in who are still. Have still not completely taken it in that it's not going to improve for them.
Right. And I have to say, I have the utmost respect and for all of these young people and their officers that I've seen. I mean, what's going on a daily basis is something that is really very, very important. It always has been in war, and it still is. And I'm not sure I know how it should be recognized, but I think that these young men and women that are now going to be hindered for the rest of their lives deserve everything we can do for them.
Well, we're cutting the veterans' budgets, so I guess our supporting our troops only goes so far. And there's been remarkably little coverage of the injured. It's now starting to come out, so if you are among the injured coming in, it's like you haven't had the societal, the large societal validation. Not that people don't appreciate your service and your sacrifices. They do, of course. But very little has been written about them. It's just beginning. We're just beginning to see individual stories coming out now.
Yeah, and I guess I don't know for sure how the patient feels about being written about. They may not want to be written about in that way. You'd have to ask them each and one individually. But I know that they want to be cared for, and they deserve to be cared for, and I hope they are. I'm not saying the care is necessarily bad. The acute care, I think, is quite good. I have to say I worry and am concerned that as these disabled people come back into our society, that they be helped, as I said, and as best they can be, that they're supported financially as best we can, as well as offered employment, treated as people of our society, and allowed to function and helped to function, because they all need it and deserve it.
My guest is Dr. Gene Bowles. He's a neurosurgeon, Boulder neurosurgeon. He is the new owner of the Boulder Dinner Theater. More as we continue. I'm Enid Goldstein. You are listening to the Monday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC.
Why listen to Rush when you've got Enid?
Love her as I love her, and there will be joy.
AM 1150 KNRC.
WB2.
Tonight on WB2 News at 9.
The number of women in prison is growing at an alarming rate.
A time bomb waiting to explode.
I'm Tamara Banks. I'll spend a night behind bars at a Colorado prison to find out why.
I didn't like nobody telling me what to do.
Plus, I'll show you what's being done to keep these women from coming back.
It's like a revolving door to me.
WB2
WB2 News investigates women behind bars.
I don't want to die no more.
Tonight on WB2 News at 9.
This is
WB2 Morning News.
Fresh local news whenever you wake up.
Just choose the time that works for you.
The most local news in the morning and weather and traffic on the twos.
It's a great way to start your day.
You should join us.
Make the most of your time in the morning. WB2 Morning News with Tom Green and Natalie Tisdall.
This is one show you don't want to miss.
Weekday mornings from 5:30 to 9. Because your time counts.
Tickets are on sale now for the 2004 KeyBank Denver Distinguished Lecture Series, featuring the dynamic lineup of retired General Tommy Franks on Tuesday, March 30th, and Steve Forbes on Monday, May 17th. Tickets are still available for these compelling speakers. For information on the remaining ticket packages, go to www.denverlectureseries.com and expand your world by attending the 2004 KeyBank Distinguished Lecture Series, a program of junior achievement and sponsored in part by AM 1150 KNRC. We call it Drive Talking. Go to our website at knrcradio.com and look for details on how you can get a free KNRC travel coffee mug. That'll help on those morning commutes, and it may stop those stupid hot coffee spill lawsuits. There are few things that are free these days, but you'll find them at knrcradio.com. Go there, sign up, and the Drive Talking coffee mug will be yours. You can even get unlimited coffee refills and your fabulous new KNRC coffee mug at Sugar Beet Cafe. It's just another way for us to say thank you for making AM 1150 KNRC your number one choice for news and talk in Denver. AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, this is Mike Reagan. Join me weeknights at 6 p.m. as Denver's best afternoon and early evening talk continues exclusively on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
2:27 on the Monday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. With me live in studio, Dr. Gene Bowles. He's a neurosurgeon living in Boulder, the new owner of the Boulder Dinner Theater, which we're going to get to. But I have been interested in talking to him when since the very first time I saw him quoted, it was shortly after the war got underway. You were the only one talking about the cost, the human cost. You may have been interviewed inadvertently, but one of the things that has been written about is that now that the body armor is so good for our soldiers, that there are kinds of injuries happening to them that they might not have survived in previous times. So now they're being injured in different ways. Can you speak to that?
Yes, to some degree.
Because you were talking in the break about orthopedic, a lot of orthopedic injuries and also head injuries and so on.
Yes. The statistics are evolving, and I don't know entirely what they're going to end up showing, but so far I think the percentage of injuries is what we consider orthopedic, meaning extremity injuries. And
so we're seeing a lot of extremity injuries. You're seeing what?
A lot.
Spinal cord injuries?
We see a number of spinal cord injuries.
A lot of head injuries.
We're seeing a lot of head injuries based upon concussive effects from the explosive injuries that are happening rather routinely.
Here you were, ready to retire, and now you decide you want to do some public service and you wind up at Landstuhl. What was the experience like for you?
It was a very good experience. I felt needed.
Mm-hmm. You felt useful? You were doing something very useful?
Very much so.
Were there surprises for you in the experience?
Yes.
Things that you didn't expect to be as bad or as good as they were.
I think so.
What?
Well, the main surprise was emotionally, while I think I survived well, I was emotionally affected by the horrific injuries I was seeing.
Now, you're as a neurosurgeon in private practice, you're used to seeing a lot of tough injuries.
Yes, and I've seen them over the years.
What was it about this that made it so? Was it the sheer volume of people coming in?
I think that was the main part of it. It was seeing four or five kids coming in at a time with arms and legs missing and other serious injuries. It was seeing that volume and of young people, realizing what they were going through, what they went through. One of the things I found over the time was that when I wasn't taking care of these horrific injuries, I was talking to soldiers on a daily basis. Soldiers that were initially going to Iraq.
Mm-hmm. And?
Excuse me. I'll shut it off.
Yes, thank you. You're on the radio.
My phone just went off.
Yes.
I saw patients daily that were initially going to Iraq or Afghanistan and then coming back. And just talking to them about their experiences was a real eye-opener to me. And then seeing the major injuries that I saw, I had not ever had that experience, before. And this was different for me. And so to answer your question.
So it was probably hard for you not to be as depressed as...
I don't know if it was depression per se, but yes, I had many sleepless nights. It was a stressful situation, and not just for myself. I think many of the healthcare providers I know have gone through the same experiences.
When you did the surgery on Jessica Lynch, was there a lot of pressure? Was there a lot of media attention? Were you shielded from a lot of that? How did that all come down?
No, there was a lot of attention, and I shielded myself from it. I think the military shields you to some degree. I can't talk about her in any detail, and I signed an agreement that I would not ever. So there's always pressure in dealing with either a newsworthy situation or VIP situations or special forces.
How do you go from the life that you were just describing to buying the Boulder Dinner Theater? Maybe that's the antidote to the life you're just describing. Maybe that's exactly the right thing to be doing.
Well,
are you in practicing now or are you actually retired?
Well, I'm in a phase of deciding. I'm not going back into the private practice of neurosurgery as I had before. I may do some things. I haven't decided. I'm in a phase of deciding. The Dinner Theater, I was one of the original founders of the Dinner Theater some 28 years ago. And so I've been a silent partner, associate of the Dinner Theater over this time period. At this particular time, it was looking like the person who was had been the director of the Dinner Theater, Ross Haley, was thinking of getting out and retiring himself. From an emotional point of view, I'm very proud of the Dinner Theater. I know what it's done for many, many people in our community, and I've also seen the people that work there. I just decided that, knowing that I probably didn't want to completely retire myself, that I'd buy it.
So now you're the sole owner of a Dinner Theater.
Yes.
And what's the next performance? What are you going to be doing?
Well, I want to say that my wife and I, Judy, are together.
The two of you are co-owners.
Yeah, and she's as much, if not more so, an important ingredient here.
And is there a show right now that you're doing?
We've been doing Chicago, and Chicago has been on for 8 months. It's been very popular.
Uh-huh.
We're sold out through closing, which is the end of this month. And then we're opening Joseph and the Technicolor Dreamcoat, which is an Andrew Lloyd Webber production. And interestingly and ironically enough, Joseph was the very first show that was done at the Boulder Dinner Theater 26 or 7 years ago. It was 1970.
When it was open.
Six, yeah. And at the time, that show was chosen by the director at that time because it had never been shown in the United States.
You know, I think you've led really a fascinating life. Have you thought about writing?
Oh, I've thought about
writing your life, memoirs, writing what it was really like, even just to take a section of your life. out of the whole matrix and write what it was like to do this kind of service in Landstuhl?
I've had those thoughts, yeah. I don't type. And probably the hardest...
You don't have to type to write.
The hardest thing I went through in the military was that almost everybody types. And
how do you do email?
Well, I type fast with two fingers.
Well, that's all you need. A lot of reporters only have the two-finger method.
Yeah. That's what's evolved for me. And
well, that's still not answering the question.
Oh,
that was
like
pretty canny not to answer the question and to go digress off into the not I can't type school of behavior.
Yeah. Well, I've thought of writing. I've thought of writing it down, and given the right timing and stimulus, perhaps I will.
Was there anything other than the fact that you felt like you were useful and really helping? Did you have thoughts about being in favor and not in favor of the war?
Surely. I mean, I don't think anyone that is involved doesn't somehow have thoughts of is this right or wrong, etc.
How would you characterize yourself?
Right now, I'm in the middle ground. I don't know yet. I've had thoughts on both directions. I do think that with 9/11. As horrific as that was, that I understand a response and the responses that were made and why they were made. Hopefully they will have some effect upon stopping this madness. I fear that, however, that...
Even though no WMD is found, even though no real association with Al-Qaeda, Iraq, yeah. We should have saved it for somebody... You think he's on ICE somewhere? I think he's on ICE.
Yeah,
they're going to bring him in right before the election.
Yeah. I just don't...
Him and that dialysis machine.
Yeah.
Getting kind of ossified out there.
And what his overall part in this, there's differences there. I honestly don't know the answers. I know there's many, many, many secrets. One of the things I've noticed by my recent experience is there are things going on that you and I and... many, many other people know nothing about. I've been a witness to working with people in the Delta Force, Special Forces, in the world and not just involving Iraq and Afghanistan. And I just know that there's a lot going on that I don't know. And I can only, I guess my feeling is, though, that as long as we're a part of causing injuries and casualties to other people. And we haven't talked about what's going on with the Iraqi people and the Afghanistani people.
You didn't see those people. You only saw troops.
I only saw troops. Occasionally, I saw some people from Afghanistan, occasionally. But these are human beings also. And they have families. And they have people who care for them. And yes, they're on one side, we're on the other side, and that's what war is. But... in my opinion, they're nice people also in their own life, and it makes them angry if somebody comes along and hurts them or hurts their loved ones. And until we stop this madness and get off of this revenge cycle that human beings are on, I think we are becoming civilized enough as people to think of this, and hopefully we can start looking at it.
Dr. Gene Bowles, thank you so much for joining us today. Neurosurgeon Boulder, and we thank you for your fine service in Landstuhl, and remind people that you and your wife are the new owners of the Boulder Dinner Theater in Boulder. Thank you so much for coming in today. I really appreciate it. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC. 2:39, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hey, Enid, good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 48 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by the Air National Guard. A number of women's groups turned out for a rally on the CU campus today, and speakers said that Joyce Lauren should be taken off the committee that will investigate the 6 rape allegations involving University of Colorado football players. Some of the speakers also said that head football coach Gary Barnett should be fired. 500 people filled out questionnaires today regarding what they know about the case of Michael Blagg, who is charged with first-degree murder in the death of his wife, Jennifer. The questionnaires are part of the jury selection process that could take up to 3 weeks. Jennifer Blagg's body was found in a Mesa County landfill. Clinton Portis could be wearing a Washington Redskins uniform soon. A report in the Rocky Mountain News says the Broncos are considering trading the running back to Washington in exchange for Pro Bowl cornerback Champ Bailey and a second-round draft pick. No comment yet from the Broncos. Money for college plus job skills from a part-time job? You bet. Fuel your future in the Air National Guard. Call 1-800-2-GO-ANG. That's 1-800-T-O-G-O-A-N-G. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 2:41.
She's your midday rush alternative. Enid Goldstein on AM 1150 KNRC. Enid Goldstein, KNRC.
We have to talk.
Ooh, Lord, yeah. It's time to celebrate Mardi Gras. Fat Tuesday at Broussard Creole Cafe, a real Louisiana experience. The Broussard family invite you to share their authentic Louisiana dishes on Fat Tuesday, February 24th, with free red beans and rice for the first 50 people through the door starting at 11 in the morning. Share, we're talking about authentic Creole, scrumptious seafood gumbo, jambalaya, fried catfish, calamari, many dishes priced under $8, and no Mardi Gras would be complete without $3 hurricane served all day. It's going to be a real Creole party share where you can drape yourself with free Mardi Gras beads and let loose with the live rhythm and blues and Zydeco of Bo and Sam with Wild and Peaceful and featuring the famous Otis Tinsley. Come for lunch but plan to stay all day, share. Broussard Creole Cafe, located right across the street from the state capitol on Colfax, just around the corner from the Denver Civic Center bus station. Call 303-861-0931. Fat Tuesday, the 24th at Broussard Creole Cafe. Alonzo on Bonto Relay.
KNRC News Time is 2:42. Time to go to Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Having a bit of trouble with one accident, this traffic report is brought to you by Albertsons. Colfax and Peoria still working. Other than that, though, a real quiet drive around the metro area. Monday is Cheap Chicken Day. At Albertsons, 8 mouth-watering pieces of fresh fried chicken, only $3.99. Cheap Chicken Day, Mondays at Albertsons. Helping make your life easier. I'm Darren Copeland with your traffic. You can hear the Radio Factor with Bill O'Reilly weekday mornings at 10 on AM 1150 KNRC.
I'm Valerie Seagraves with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. We'll keep more clouds and sunshine, and as the moist air to the south pushes up, looks like we'll see a few flurries and maybe some snow showers a little later tonight. A high today of 48. Overnight lows tonight in the lower 20s. It'll be mostly cloudy in the low 40s tomorrow, and on Wednesday, a little more sunshine with highs in the upper 40s. For the Weather Channel, I'm Valerie Seagraves on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's partly cloudy, 48 degrees. KNRC News Time is 2:43. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 3 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hey, Mary, what you doing?
I'm declaring my independence. I'm switching my internet access to ProLink.
I didn't know you played golf. Where do you play?
Golf? Are you kidding? I couldn't tell a golf ball from a disco ball.
Well, didn't you say ProLinks?
Yeah, but ProLinks isn't about golf. It's about DSL, dial-up, and all that, you know, internet access.
I've never heard of ProLinks.
They're an ISP. They offer the same high-quality internet access as the big guys, but without the poor service and annoying Super Bowl ads.
Is their connection fast?
Sure. Their DSL taps directly into large networks, just like the big guys, and they're giving me 2 free months of internet access.
Well, that settles it. I'm switching to ProLinks. How do I get connected?
Call them at 303-972-3218 and they'll get you squared away. That number again is 303-972-3218. Mention this ad and get your first 2 months of high-speed internet access for free. That number again is 303-972-3218. You'll be glad you did.
DSL cross-connector installation fees are not included. Not available in all areas.
KNRC Market Watch.
Wall Street's major indexes opened the week with a sell-off. Traders tell MarketWatch.com investors were locking in gains on the absence of any significant economic news. The Dow Industrials fell 9 points to 10,609. The Nasdaq lost 30 points to 2008. The S&P 500 slid 3 points to 1141. Big board volume was nearly 1.4 billion shares. Decliners beat advancers by more than 5-3 margin. The Pentagon plans to announce shortly that it will cancel the Comanche helicopter program. Sikorsky Aircraft and Boeing are behind that program. Sikorsky parent United Technologies sank $2.82 a share. Boeing was off 72 cents. Fellow Dow stock Intel, the day's busiest. It slid a dollar after the chip chipmaker said the IRS is auditing its 2001 and 2002 tax returns. Intel could be liable for $600 million in back taxes. I'm Steve Orr from the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
He's looking out for you.
Listen.
Bill O'Reilly, weekdays at 10 a.m., exclusively with the Radio Factor on AM 1150 KNRC. Enid Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNRC. Here again, Enid Goldstein.
2:45 on the Monday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. My guest was Dr. Gene Bowles, neurosurgeon and now the new owner of the Boulder Dinner Theater, talking about his experiences. And he said one of the things that gave him a lot of pleasure, for example, somebody came into him with a brain injury in an Iraqi casualty in Germany. And he took a big piece of stuff out of his brain, and the guy just got married recently. So there are those moments. Wednesday, I want to just put you on alert. Rocky Mountain News film critic Bob Dinnerstein going to be talking about Mel Gibson's new film, very controversial film, The Passion of Christ. Plus, we're going to be giving away a couple of two pairs of tickets to the only Academy-sanctioned Oscar party in Denver, and we're still working on trying to get me to the Academy Awards. I don't know if it's going to happen. I think it's probably a long shot at this point, but we're still working on it. So if I get to go, I'm going to let you know all about it. Also, Thursday and Friday, I'm going to be in Washington, D.C., and filling in for me is T.R. Reed, Tom Reed, who is the bureau chief for the Rocky Mountain for the Washington Post. So he'll be in on Thursday and Friday. Next week, depending on what happens, we're going to have Evelinda and Judy in. We'll be talking about the Oscars, and I might actually be doing it from Los Angeles, but we'll see. We kind of got started late on it, so we'll see what happens. If you're just tuning in, we've talked about a lot of different things today. We've talked about Ralph Nader jumping into the race. Some of you saying that you're going to vote for Nader. Nader says the same thing this time around that he said last time around, that it doesn't really matter whether you're a Republican president or a Democratic president. They're all drinking from the same trough of special interests. So if you could put your imagination hat on, think about what a Democratic administration looks like as opposed to a Republican administration. So for practical purposes, look at the Bill Clinton administration and then look at the George Bush administration. And you tell me which is a better administration for the country. Bill Clinton with his peccadillos, or as I like to put it, peccaradillos, and George W. Dickey Bush. 303-382-1150. We're also talking about the scandal at CU and whether or not other heads ought to roll. The New York Times had a big piece on disenchanted Bush voters are considering crossing over. Now, they went into the heartland. They went into Ohio. And the story starts out this way. In the 2000 presidential election, Bill Flanagan, a semi-retired newspaper worker, happily voted for George W. Bush. But now, shaking his head, he vows never again. And they went on to look at interview a number of people who felt the same way that he did. Then, this story breaks over the weekend. The CIA admits that it did not give weapon data to the UN. Now, this is a big story, and I haven't seen very much about it, but I think this is huge. The CIA has acknowledged that it did not provide the United Nations with information about 21 of the 105 sites in Iraq singled out by American intelligence before the war as the most highly suspected of housing illicit weapons. The acknowledgement in a January 20 letter to Senator Carl Levin, Democrat of Michigan, contradicts public statements before the war by top Bush administration officials. So in other words, they lied. Again, both George Tenet, the director of the CIA, and Condoleezza Rice, the National Security Advisor, said that the U.S. had briefed U.N. inspectors on all the sites identified as high value and moderate value in the weapons hunt. And in fact, we had not. The contradiction is significant because congressional opponents of the war insisted that it was fully cooperating with the inspectors, and at daily briefings, the White House issued assurances that the administration was providing the inspectors with the best information possible, and instead they withheld information. More lies. More lies. 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150. Also, they're talking about the effect of Teresa Carey on John Kerry's presidency, that she's blunt, that she's influential, that she's very rich. You know, she inherited all this money from her first husband, so they call him Cash and Kerry. But he comes back from the doctor with a clean bill of health. He thinks that his cholesterol is low and that he's in fine health. And she, who was a physician's daughter and who peruses medical journals and toxicology articles and is intrigued by alternative medicine and Eastern philosophy, reads her husband's medical tests, the results, and she knows enough to have her husband's blood retested for the C-reactive protein, a little-known indicator of potentially cancerous inflammation. 2 days before Christmas, his doctor then tells Kerry that his wife's fears were well-placed, that he was in the very early stages of prostate cancer. In other words, she saved his life. Just to the side, for whatever it's worth, she saved his life. 303-382-1150, but more data emerging that we lied. This time the CIA admits that it didn't give weapons data to the UN like it said it did. And two people who lied here were George Tenet, the head of the CIA, and Dr. Condoleezza Rice. Or Dr. Condoleezza Rison. What do you think? 303, are you surprised? Shocked? Shocked that they lied? And it's all, here's what we're shocked about. That it's all coming unraveled as quickly as it is. 303-382-1150. Or maybe we should be shocked that they were managed to keep their secrets for as long as they did. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
Why listen to Rush when you've got Enid?
Love her as I love her, and there will be joy.
AM 1150 KNRC.
Listen up, men. Insight, the once-a-day tablet for natural male enhancement, powers into 2004 as a NASCAR team sponsor. And now, while supplies last, Team Insight is giving away free 30-day samples. To get a free 30-day sample box, just log on to 4insight.com. That's the number 4, E-N-Z-Y-T-E.com. Or call 1-800-778-5290. Look for the number 50 car and experience natural male enhancement with a free sample box of Insight. Call 1-800-778-5290. 1-800-778-5290.
The KNRC Community Commitment.
Coal Creek Community Theater presents the award-winning comic drama Steel Magnolias. Evening performances will be February 27th and 28th and March 5th and 6th at 7:30 p.m. with matinees February 29th and March 7th at 2 p.m. All performances will be held at the Louisville Center for the Arts at 801 Grant Street in Louisville. For tickets to Steel Magnolias, call the Coal Creek Community Theater box office at 303-665-7211 or go to www.ccctheater.org.
Sky Ridge Medical Center's Free Family Festival is February 28th from 10 to 3. Food, fun, and health info, maternity and kids fashion show, and miles from the Broncos. I-25 in Lincoln, south of Park Meadows.
Dr. Yuki hosts the exciting The Wild and Wacky World of Pets and Animals, airing live Saturdays at 2 p.m. on KNRC. The show is a zany, fast trip into the hilarious and fascinating world of animals. Learn unusual facts about the critters with which we share our world. Callers can win prizes during the Pet Trivia Challenge, and lots of fun is in store. Don't miss the fast-paced, action-packed hour of fun and hilarity with Dr. Yuki and The Wild and Wacky World of Pets and Animals, Saturdays at 2 on KNRC.
It's an epidemic of massive proportions.
And she's buying a stairway to heaven.
People sitting through mind-numbing classic rock songs that they've heard for the 4 millionth time in order to get crucial information that they need.
I'm a honky-tonk woman.
There is help out there in the radio wasteland. AM 1150 KNRC. With the most entertaining talk in Denver. News at the top and 35 past each hour and traffic reports throughout the day. It's not too late. Help is on your radio.
I'm a free bird. Yeah.
Hear both sides. AM 1150, KNRC. Denver is the third worst traffic city in America.
Traffic.
But we make it easier with Leilani Larson mornings and Darren Copeland afternoons.
It's too good to be true.
Listen to their traffic reports at least four times an hour on AM 1150, KNRC.
Hi, this is Bill O'Reilly. Join me live every weekday morning from 10 till noon here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
2:55 on the Monday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours for about five more minutes before Doug Kellett takes over. We're talking about a lot of things. We're talking about this new information emerging over the weekend and not much discussion about it, that the CIA admits it did not give weapons data to the UN like it said it was, and like it said it had. And both George Tenet and Condoleezza Rice said with a straight face that they had given the weapons inspectors all the information about these weapons sites at a time when we were hoping to have the inspectors go in there and spend more time seeing whether there were weapons or not of mass destruction. And this administration didn't want that to happen. They wanted to go to war, and that's it. So they withheld critical information. We're talking also about what's going on at CU, and I'm getting a bunch of emails from you. There's a new poll out. Most say that Janet Jackson's display is not worth a probe. They need to clean up television generally, says one person. That one incident at the Super Bowl is nothing compared to what's on TV all the time. Majority thought that the stunt was in bad taste. Most Americans think the exposure of Janet Jackson's right breast during the Super Bowl halftime show was crass, but few believe it's a federal case. Well, here you've got Colin Powell's son, who heads up the FCC, Michael Powell, and he's so angry about this, and he's conducting this investigation, and he's right on it. And meanwhile, nobody's conducting much of an investigation about why we went to war and all the lies are told. And which of those two are more obscene, do you think? I would guess that people coming back home on gurneys is far more obscene than anybody's right boob. And, of course, that gave rise to, the right boob of the day nominations. And when George W. Dickey Bush was on making his appearance on Meet the Depressed, everybody said, well, there again, the appearance of another right boob, 303-32-1150. The Bush administration says it improperly altered a report documenting large racial and ethnic disparities in health care, but it will soon publish the full unexplicated document. So in other words, they lied about a report documenting large racial and ethnic disparities in health care. The CIA admits that it did not give the weapons data to the United Nations. What do you make of all these lies? Even whenever they're doing a study, we're not getting the truth there. Are you not outraged, or have we become so cynical that we just expect that we're going to be lied to? So two stories here. These are big stories, taking the spin out of a report that made bad into good. The Bush administration said it improperly altered a report documenting large racial and ethnic disparities in health care to make it sound like there were not those disparities in health care. So they spun the report, and they've been caught at it, and the CIA now admits, because the Democrats are holding their feet to the fire and demanding answers to question, the CIA admits it did not give weapons inspectors data when it said that it did. Isn't that amazing? And how is it that we're tolerating such a lying administration? And the question is, with Ralph Nader coming in, I mean, a lot of Republican supporters believe that Bush will be reelected, and do not discount, in spite of the new Newsweek poll, that if the election were held today, Kerry Edwards' ticket would beat a Bush-Cheney ticket. Do not discount the $200 million or so in the Bush-Cheney war chest, because they are just going to step on the gas. And if $200 million isn't enough, they're going to go for more. Carl in Golden, hi, you're live with Enid.
Enid, Bush is insignificant. He's a nitwit. What I'm voting against is Ashcroft. Rumsfeld, Cheney, all his staff that he surrounds himself with are liars. Of course, like I said, Bush is too much of a nitwit to even try to lie. So that's who I'm voting against.
Well, Carl, I thank you for the call, and tell your friends. That's it for us today. I want to thank Joe Anderson for doing a fine job producing the show, Jordan Lyles for keeping us on the air. All of you who called and listened, thank you so much. Doug Kellett, up next from 3 to 6. And 6 to 9 is Michael Reagan. And Start Your Day with Jimmy Lakey from 6A to 10A. And 10 to noon is Bill O'Reilly. And we'll have lunch again tomorrow, noon to 3. I'm Enid Goldstein. Do something generous. And I'll see you tomorrow at noon right here on
KNRC 1150.
Hear both sides talk. AM 1150, KNRC, Englewood, Denver. Doug Kellett is straight ahead. It's 3 o'clock.
Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 48 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by James Hardy Building. A number of women's groups turned out for a rally on the CU Boulder campus today. Georgina Solomon of the campus group Students Advocating for Fair and Equal Treatment says she's not out to bash the entire CU football team.
This rally is not about labeling the entire football team.
This rally is not about criticizing the entire CU campus. There are some amazing people on this campus, and we can't label everyone under one horrible name.
Many of the speakers call for the replacement of Joyce Lawrence on the committee that is investigating the sex and recruiting scandal at the university. Janine DeAnnaval, with the group Moving to End Sexual Assault, says investigative panel co-chair Lawrence's questioning of women who would go to parties where alcohol and football players are present is extremely prejudicial.
If Joyce Lawrence were to be on a criminal trial that took place at the Justice Center, and she was going to be a potential juror in the investigation of a criminal trial, and she made such comments, there is no way that she would be allowed to serve as a jury member on that committee. So why should she be allowed to be part of this investigative panel?
Some of the speakers also said that the panel's April 30th deadline doesn't allow enough time to look